All right, are we all ready to go?
Yep.
Are we all buckled in?
Yep.
We got leather on our skin. Hi-ho, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kermit the Vangelist here with WTF at TFW, episode 172, welcoming you to the month of November 2011, the 11th month, 8 days before the 11th day of the 11th year of the 11th and 10th century. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, I found this gauntlet on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It was apparently dropped by one Seth Buzzard.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, when I said that I had heard that some people had issues with their Reveltech Prime, I meant more than one. And I know that Seth feels that he should be the center of some universes, but I feel that everybody should be included.
Well,
so yes,
generous.
Seth, I know that you had issues with your Reveltech Prime. I also know that some of the people at a high-end podcast had issues with theirs. And it was a person from that high-end podcast that helped me make sure that I didn't have a messed up one. So yes, I do listen to the odd episodes. Actually, more often than I listen to the even episodes, but there you go.
Wow, that's a kind gesture of you to start listening to the odd episodes like that all of a sudden.
Yes, all of a sudden. All I do for our episodes generally is either in the background or skip to the bits that we don't do live that are your problem. Just to know when people go, oh, that was the worst intermission ever. So I can go, what are they talking about?
Yeah. Oh, you know, you gotta share some Chinatown Hustler. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we spend 3 hours sitting here talking about it, and I really don't want to relive some of these.
Oh, it's all right. I relive it all the time. I just run these on repeat in my ear all day, every day, while I sleep. Hi, Omegas.
I am deeply disturbed now.
Oh, don't worry about it. I know the sound of your voice intrinsically. Fact.
That's not helping.
Once I learn Pro Tools, I'll be able to draw your voice with the pencil tool.
That mean I can go to bed?
No, it means that I can make you say whatever I want. guys, by the way, I have the flu. FYI. I went to Action Figure Expo this weekend, and some small-timer totally got a bunch of us sick. I bet it was some kind of whore. Anyway, we're going to talk to you today about Transformers. And we're going to start off with some BotCon news. Because the moment you stop talking about a topic, the next year's iteration of that topic just sort of happens in the headlines. And we've got us a teaser for BotCon 2012. An enemy thought defeated. A power thought to be legend. At BotCon 2012, Earth's survival rests in the hands of just one robot, Ellipses. And it's a picture of the Reveal the Shield G2 Prime with blue eyes and otherwise shrouded in complete darkness. So a lot of people are thinking that this is going to be... Now, the knee-jerk was that this is going to be R.I.D. Scourge. However, R.I.D. Scourge does not have blue eyes. So there have been a whole bunch of thinkings about this. I kind of like the idea of this being the G2 laser... Ultra Magnus that E-Hobby did. That would be kind of neat, and that wouldn't be quite as mainliney. But what do you guys think about this beginning of the next couple months of news? Since this is going to be all we're going to be talking about once they start showing more stuff.
Yeah, I think it might be also, because what other primes do we have out of that? We have the Prime of Justice.
Prime of Justice, but...
It's like the white, then blue, not the classic red-blue Prime.
Yeah.
So I could see them doing that because I'm pretty sure I saw on Twitter they were saying that it wasn't R.I.D. Scourge and that what they're doing is something that Hasbro had no intentions of doing. And so seeing Hasbro out of that mold, I can't see Hasbro not doing a Scourge / Nemesis Prime, the black and teal version of that mold.
So, yeah, that's kind of where I am. I would be surprised if Hasbro let this go to Funpub as a convention toy because it's the most obvious recolor to do of that figure that
right.
That also looks nothing like the original paint deco. But Omegas, how do you feel about this teaser? Do you think this is pointing at anything in particular yet?
It's kind of hard, considering the only thing we have to go on, really, is the eye color.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to go, well, I kind of hope it is Ultra Magnus in a sense, because that's the obvious one, and Hasbro most likely would not do it out of that mold. At the same time, it's Funpub, so I also expect this to be like some Shattered Glass Scourge.
Don't say those words.
I was gonna drop those right after you said whatever you're gonna say.
That this could also
be Shattered Glass Scourge.
No, I'm thinking it's Shattered Glass Toxitron, who's colored like the canceled Defensor exclusive.
We're done professionally.
You know what I think BotCon needs is Shattered Glass, because they haven't had Shattered Glass for a while. We haven't seen the Shattered Glass toy in a really long time, at least 3 weeks. And I think we could use some more Shattered Glass. I don't know. Aaron, how do you feel? Oh, Aaron's left.
I've offended him.
Shattered Glass is not a bad concept. However, I believe that it has been overused, that in the unique place that the convention and the club has, I think that there are a lot more things that could be done to better use those molds, such as with the runs, still a bad nickname, where you can take existing molds and do something that is more authentic to the original stuff, which is what everybody would tend to have more interest in. I think their Shattered Glass is somebody's baby, and they really like it, and I'm happy for them, but we need to move on. And
yeah.
I've heard people say, hey, it would be so cool if the whole 2012 set was another Shattered Glass set. And to those people, I say, go away.
Okay, I think Shattered Glass is a great concept that has been marred by exactly one thing. The original set of Shattered Glass, those bios, I think, worked out really well for me. Ever since then, I have very rarely actually enjoyed a Shattered Glass bio outside of maybe a chuckle or two. And I think that this really, it just hit me with that Shattered Glass Scourge bio that was chosen to be the official Shattered Glass Scourge bio, which was a really boring bio that, to me, did not have any kind of clever play on what is a mirror aspect you can execute via Scourge. It just felt like Scourge has a beard, ergo he's an old guy who can fight well. And it did not really touch me in any meaningful way as a lot of the other Shattered Glass ones did, because I've even in the face of a lot of people getting sick of Shattered Glass, I thought it was a pretty cool thing. But it was that and Shattered Glass Drift being Deadpool that made me kind of go like, all right, I'm starting to lose my rampart here. And
They took some aspect and did something with it. They just played the opposites game.
Yeah, and
Drift is a quiet loner that only uses swords, so who's the mouthy thing? Okay, well, Deadpool's kind of mouthy. He's hip with kids right now.
Well, he's not hip with the kids. He was hip with the kids like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He had 5 monthly comics.
Yeah.
And I think Scourge, what the flip was the fact that Scourge is actually a relatively new Transformer, because he would have, in G1, was made by a Unicron.
No way they're possibly.
In the movie. So
he's newer,
instead
so
of
his
being,
flip is he's older. No,
right,
I mean.
But that's the only air quote flip I can see in that. And it just, you know, the opposites game runs out real quick. And the repurposing game, which is one of the other things that. I'm not gonna get worked up, but
I don't mind if they want to repurpose
toy,
stuff. But
it's like when something gets repurposed in a text thing.
It's not a bad thing. What makes repurposing? What made repurposing become something that I was no longer really into was when it felt like, hey, why aren't you guys keeping up with all the repurposings? This toy is now this, and I'm like, I like this toy better the way it was before. And it became this whole kind of like, it felt almost like some kind of weird, like, high school-y peer pressure thing, almost, of like, oh, you still think that toy is that thing? Well, don't you know it's been repurposed to this? And it's like, yo, guys.
Some of those Energon Basics or Omnicons or whatever the heck they were called at the time that got air quotes, repurposed into different characters. I don't even know if they were Shattered Glass or not, but it was like, why? Why are you drawing on some Target exclusive toy from 8 years ago to come up with an idea of who they are? Just make a character.
Well, here's what I'm going to throw down there.
It doesn't matter if the character doesn't have a toy.
There's numbers. There's numbers on here, too. 2008 was the first Shattered Glass set, right?
Yeah.
2010, we had Shattered Glass Ravage. 2011, we had Shattered Glass Galvatron and Thundercracker. Amidst those times, we also had Shattered Glass Cyclonus. Next year, we've got Shattered Glass Drift coming out. Shattered Glass has never gone away. It has always, maybe for a year, taken a break. But since I started making YouTube videos and doing this podcast, Shattered Glass has perpetually been lingering around in some way. That's going on 4 years now.
Slowly circling the toilet bowl.
Yeah, and anything that is lingering that long, unless it becomes obscenely fresh at some point, it really needs to step back and take a break for the sake of its own quality. And I think that Shattered Glass needed to take a break last year. I think that releasing Shattered Glass Galvatron as a toy should have been, all right, Shattered Glass Galvatron, as far as I know, he is the end cap of the fiction I read for Shattered Glass. So I'm like, hey, put him down as the end cap for the toys. It's like, good job, guys. 3 year story. You got out a whole bunch of toys. You repurposed a pile of them. If someone loves Shattered Glass, they can make this big ass whole shelf of Shattered Glass toys now. Release some label, some label sheets of Shattered Glass faction symbols so they can finish off the job, whatever. But just to keep, you know, like, I'm, that's why I'm not all up into this idea that this might be a Shattered Glass concept. In fact, I think that we've talked about it a bit too much for something that has no confirmation whatsoever.
I'm sorry I ever mentioned the words.
If it turns out to be a Shattered Glass scourge, then I really hope the deco is extremely creative. That's all I can say. Right.
Well, it's going to have to be the bio and the reasonings behind it to make it really good. Because unless, you know, they come up with some flip of what makes Scourge Scourge, so what can make the anti-Scourge still kind of scourgy the way that some of the other Shattered Glass stuff went, then that'd be really good. But like I said, unfortunately, it just seems like they're playing the opposite
game. And what does make Scourge Scourge? That's the next question. Yeah.
Yeah. Scanned as human because of the fact that he had Kelly? Was it Kelly?
I know. Well, that's the thing, right?
Inside, like, the cab.
That's why I'm not entirely opposed to a Shattered Glass Scourge, because his initial character concept is so open already that it means you can, if you want to, you could get obscenely clever with it. But
yeah.
And I hate saying this because this is really cynical. I don't know if a Shattered Glass Scourge bio would actually turn out to be clever enough to make me go, like, I think that was worth doing instead of something else. But, you know, we don't even know. I am more subscribed to the Ultra Magnus idea myself.
Ultra Magnus would be good because we're not going to get that. And then the nice thing is with the armor add-on kit thing that's in the pipeline, you could get an armored up kind of Ultra Magnus out of the Ultra Magnus.
That's
again.
Not something though you want to bring up as a potential selling point for a FunPub toy, because no one in FunPub owns third party toys, so that's not on their agenda. But that aside, we will keep our eyes open on these teasers. I am really hoping that something good comes from this, because if that's the toy that it obviously is, that means that this year's coming set will be using some of the best deluxe molds we have seen in a very long time, that being Reveal the Shield.
Now, after all that, I'm just curious of what everyone else entered for that Scourge contest.
Yeah, I saw some people sharing stuff on Twitter, but I admit I was on my phone at the time, so I didn't actually click any links to read anything.
Because I saw some really clever bios, and they even retweeted a few ones if they were going for something silly.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah. That is such an old topic, I feel like I'm just dredging up a bunch of mush if I start talking about it. But I was not really all that amazingly impressed with the official SG Scourge bio, nor that apparently they repurposed the BotCon Scourge to be SG Scourge. Or sorry, the BotCon Sweep. To be SG Scourge, because I like those sweeps as sweeps. I think that they go right. well with the Generation Scourge as just a variation on the sweep body. It looks really cool. And that's what mine are still going to be. Damn it.
In all seriousness, I really hope that FunPub actually pulls a FunPub thing and goes for one of those. Well, no one's even thought about this generation in years. Let's just run with it. And I really hope that picture is of some classic-style powertrain, and we get a MicroMaster set that's like one-to-one scale.
Oh, MicroMasters would be so cool.
Yeah.
Like, just, yeah, pick up, like, there's such a palette of characters to select from in MicroMasters that you could just, like, with new heads, you could apply those to a whole bunch of the past year's deluxes. That would be super cool. Or, you know, I would love to see the Junkion set happen with all the different motorcycle transformers, especially now that there's actually a Junkion toy as well. You just have this entire box set of, like, I look at the G.I. Joe Club, convention box sets they've had. Some of those things were, to me, at least from my spectator vantage, they seemed very specialized, like very, very, like we just picked one, subline and we ran with it this year. And so I don't see why Transformers couldn't say, hey, this year, let's take a risk. This is the Junkion set. It's going to be a bunch of, like, motorcycles. And then if you want to have variants, have them fight a bunch of Sharktacons or something. Or,
well, we're talking the age of the exclusive troop builder sets. And I don't think any line has ever been as friendly to troop building as Reveal the Shield. Because... Mm-hmm. You've got you've got your potential sweeps, you've got your Junkions, and if you want to repurpose that Perceptor, you've got Reflectors too.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to repaint that Perceptor black, you've got Magnificus, one of the most obvious repaints that will probably never happen for a toy in a very long time. Magnificus being the E-Hobby Perceptor. You use that alternate head with the use an alternate head with a faceplate and boom, Magnificus.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll get packed in right with that Hound repaint of Detritus.
Dude, you do that alongside the Junkions, you are completely and utterly falling in Fenwank line with so much stuff. I don't know. That's why I'm not working for FunPub, because my ideas make no sense.
Maybe that is the E-Hobby Ultra Magnus that they're showing off. This is just an E-Hobby based set.
That would be awesome. I want to say White Mocha even did one of those once. If not White Mocha, then somebody has photoshopped an E-Hobby.
I'm pretty sure that there was, because I remember some of those flipped colors got. Oh, that would be so cool. But
yeah, there are so many palettes to go to that. I don't know. Falling back on similar ideas to previous years, I just don't see a reason to anymore. It doesn't mm-hmm. unless there's so, like, again, from my spectator perspective, where I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, I do not really see a reason to crutch on older concepts as main box sets. I was okay with the Shattered Glass 2-pack this year because it wasn't part of the main set. If there's like an animated add-on for 2012, much like the Shattered Glass add-on, or much like the Razor Claw add-on, Razor Claw Elite 1 add-on, you know, like those throwback add-ons, I'm okay with them. It's kind of a bummer that they take up a slot, to use the phrase that I kind of feel weird about using. But at the same time, if they are just a nod to a previous concept that they feel worked, that's cool. It's just, you know, do it once, not four times or five times over and over again.
Yeah, it'd almost be nice if they just skipped a year of the retro add-on at BotCon just to get all of them to line up for
each. I'd like that
BotCon.
Too.
Yeah, you would think that this year would have been the perfect time for that, since they're using animated molds and they still got away with an extra set.
Yeah, I can kind of understand it, maybe if they were unable to get a mold for whatever reason, because Takara is using it because it's gone missing in the factory, whatever, and so then the next year they were able to, but there's a certain point where it's, and it's the same thing with the Shattered Glass. It'd be nice to just look and be like, hey, you know, we could do more for the past, or we could do more for now.
Yeah, at the same time, I also always gotta stop myself and say, there are vocal fans of Shattered Glass, and maybe there are just enough of them to warrant bringing it back over and over again. Again, I don't know the numbers at all, so Maybe it's just a whole lot of people love Shattered Glass so much that it is a logical move monetarily and just for in terms of numbers to keep bringing it back. Maybe there are just enough people who are actively, passionately into Shattered Glass that it has that much support. For year after year. And if it is, it's great for them. That's cool if a fan made concept has that much backing. I just think that if 4 years from now we had a new animated toy every single year through FunPub, I think unless it was viciously creative every time, I might even start hitting the point of going like, all right, maybe take a year off. Maybe this is starting to wring the towel a little bit too dry and it needs to be dipped in the bucket of water again, and left to simmer for a little bit. You can strike an anvil as many times as you want, but eventually you got to lay off for a second to let it cool. What other stupid metaphors can I have? You can't keep drinking from a can without pausing to open a new one. I can't think of any more.
Yeah, that's probably about too far, but
you're beating a dead horse at this point.
Perfect metaphor. No, I'm not gonna continue on there. Okay, we should move along. We'll keep an eye on more BotCon news and keep your coverage fast and furious. And hopefully, Aaron won't get off on too many soapboxes in the interim. Hey. Let's do some new picture picks, guys. Omegas, do you have a picture you'd like to share with us?
I do.
Well,
we have photos of the unpacked Transformers Prime Entertainment Pack.
We do, because all the Transformers Prime first wave deluxe stuff came out in China, right? Like just the other day.
Yeah, I think all the ones I had as potential new picks are all Prime related.
Yeah, we've got those toys out and about.
Yeah, haven't we already played with that though?
Yeah, we played. They actually the guys, from what I understand, the guys who took pictures of Starscream transformed them wrong. They forgot to do the hunch.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to judge. Anyway, that entertainment pack. What are you thinking when you look at it?
Oh, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I mean, did we ever get a price point on this? Because there's a ton of stuff packed
into this. Oh, we did. What was it? I can't remember anymore.
25?
It was 20 or 25, I think.
It's not 20. I mean, two deluxes, three kids, and a DVD.
Yeah, I think it was just above what the straight price would have been.
Yeah, it was a very...
Yeah, 'cause it's going on the value pack thing.
It was a very logical price or something, because it was kind of like... It was a logical price when you pause and go like, okay, maybe the DVD and the kids aren't free. The price I remember would make a bit more sense.
There's two things that amuse me about this, because we've had the San Diego Comic-Con and now the New York Comic-Con early releases of these Prime toys. Technically, the show accurate Jack and Raph in this pack are now repaints.
Yep.
Yep.
And that Prime, one of the photos is a side-by-side with the San Diego Prime. And I think the one from the two-pack actually has more paint apps.
Yeah, he's got an extra silver stripe on his forehead, at least.
Yeah, the head crest has been painted in, and the windows on his chest are now blue.
Yeah, although there is a paint app on the San Diego windows. So it's... That's more of just a swapped deco. Although it also kind of highlights the slight hilarity of the San Diego Prime going from, wow, it's going to be the first Prime toy, to being kind of like a complete and utter joke.
Yeah.
How did we ever get that rumor that San Diego Prime was going to be done in clear plastic?
I don't know.
I think that set us all up for a bomb. I don't remember how that rumor even started.
I remember it bouncing around and thinking that'd be neat, but no way.
Yeah, and then he just turned out to be this toy, apparently minus a paint app, and sold on his own for 20-some dollars.
God.
His box is really cool, though. I can't deny that. Like, the box is easily worth 10 bucks.
But it's a neat box, but okay.
Yeah, well, no, that's the thing.
Most people aren't going to keep those around.
You have to like boxes as much as I do to get your money out of it. And if you don't get anything out of boxes, then...
I'm a fan of boxes, too. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, the Revoltech Skeleton Army came in a badass box. It's still stuffed in a closet, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. When I moved out here, the San Diego Prime Matrix box stayed in the West Coast. Because I have no reason to want to actually devote luggage space to packing that along with me. But yeah. I did still have fun putting it on and wearing it for a bit. I'm sure if I was at San Diego, I would have loved wearing that thing for the weekend and then never worn it again afterwards.
Still, for $5 more, apparently $5 more, you're getting 3 kids, a free DVD, and what looks to be a really cool deluxe Megatron.
Yeah, I got
the thing is,
I got to poke that
deluxe
Megatron.
Isn't quite a deluxe, though. I think that's where they're saving money.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we've sussed out of it?
Well, we messed with that Megatron a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not a crappy toy. I think that both that Megatron and that Prime are steps above the animated deluxe 2-pack Megatron. Sure. Arguably,
for sure.
Maybe the deluxe Prime, but I'm not sure because that deluxe Prime has a really good engineering basis. But
yeah.
these two toys were both definitely better than the deluxe animated Megatron. And this Megatron clearly got some paint love because he could have been cast in solid gray, and I was really surprised that he wasn't.
Yeah, glad that he wasn't.
Yeah, I'm glad too. Yeah, I'm not like, oh, they didn't cast him; they painted him. Not buying this anymore. Oh!
Well, no, I was just saying for the whole Games Workshop gray problem.
Yeah, but I don't know, Omegas. Do you think you might pick up the entertainment pack?
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
It's a very nicely done package, I think. That Optimus is a nice Optimus for its size. That Megatron, I recall being pretty good. And those kids, if they're anything like if Miko is the same as the other two, they all have posable heads, so they're a step above figurines, and you can rip their heads off, which can be fun.
I'm sure the Miko crowd's gonna love that.
Oh man, I can only imagine the photo shoots that'll happen. People just ripping that head off and lovingly applying gore to it and just showing all these really dark, hidden, creepy sides of themselves while they do so. And gotta embrace it, man.
Is that a shot selection I heard?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What you're going to do when you eventually...
I don't know what you're talking about. No idea where she was 18.
Why am I picturing movie Prime with a necklace of kid heads around his neck?
It's doable. Their heads are their heads come with giant long pegs on the bottom, so you can just wrap twist ties around that and chains.
Those aren't pegs. Those are spinal cords.
Yeah, you can paint them up with spinal cords. The possibilities are endless for your up and coming customizer. So. Yeah, the Transformers Prime opening release toys that are not Voyagers seem to be out in China, which makes me think that they are coming out this month.
Yeah, well, that's everything that we'd seen and heard, because Darksteel and Air Raid are supposed to be the last of the movie toys, pretty much, right?
Oh, really? I forgot about that. Yeah, they are, up until movie trilogy.
I mean, yeah, they've got that other set, but I think that they were hoping for more, but got stuck in the normal movie toy... You know, the retailers aren't buying them because nobody else is buying them, you know.
And it's not like 2007 things. Either. It's not like, make us another wave of deluxes. So yeah. I think that also, maybe for those of you who really don't like the movie toys, maybe this is telling that people are done for a little while.
Well, aside from just exhaustion from the design, I mean, retailers got into this habit after 2007 of just ordering these in mass. Like, I've been
to
every store.
That's the way it is with every movie toy. I mean, you can still go get
Iron Man,
Green Lantern toys, and Iron Man
Green
toys.
Lanterns and
there's a reason why you can still get Green Lantern toys, because the Green Lantern movie toys kind of suck. That's why you can still get them.
But they have like transforming things where they come with some item, some backpack thing, and it transforms.
Yeah, it certainly does.
And it's all this other stuff that slipped out since that originally came out, but it still is all movie toy problem. And I wonder if Transformers has finally hit the fatigue level with the general customers. You know, we're stupid. We'll buy everything. But, you know, parents tend to be a little bit more discerning when it comes to their money.
Yeah, especially when you have four or five different Bumblebees on the shelf, every parent's going to go, you've already got that one.
Yeah.
That is true. And look forward to the upcoming redeco of Deluxe Movie Bumblebee to kick off Wave 1 of Transformers Movie Trilogy.
Which one is it?
It's one of the ones with a spoiler.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, no, that narrows it down, because there's only like three that have spoilers.
I'm actually kind of holding out for some Nitro Bumblebee repaint, because that's like the last mold of that one I don't have anything
from. I need Nitro Bumblebee too, and I see him everywhere, but I just can't buy him because I'm just like, come on!
I know.
Come on!
Give me some, yeah.
Make him red or something! Give me another Cliff Chomper! But yeah, what were we talking about? Prime Toys. They're almost out. And I'm thinking my prediction of people finding them on shelves before December might actually come to pass.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed. Aaron, what is your new pick?
Another toy that started to bounce around. There's actually two of them that I think they're both exclusive to Walmart. The Lunar Fire Optimus Prime, and then the, I forget the name of it, Wreckers repaint.
Oh, Super Rally Cross Orange Man Roadbuster. Yeah. I saw a million of him at Action Figure Expo.
Yeah.
And except that people were trying to sell him as though he was rare.
Yeah. So it's the, Track Battle Roadbuster.
Yes. And Track Battle Roadbuster does have that same shiny undercard underlay thing.
Yeah, so it's the same shiny, kind of slightly orangish undercard. Have we seen anywhere where it is, I guess the site saying Walmart exclusive Track Battle, but it seems like they showed up, the two of them showed up separately, but
I think
the same insane numbers.
I think they are devoted cases of each, going by that one shot I saw of a wall of Track Battle Roadbusters.
Yeah. Yeah, from what I was told, both come in big packs of eight.
Oh, man.
I have no idea how they thought they could get away with that, because I can still find the deluxe one so easy at every Walmart here. I mean,
well,
the deluxe Prime, that is. And now we've got the second one right behind it.
I think this is what you call a projected plan that didn't quite work out.
Yeah. Well, that or it could just be the fact that they're trying to ramp up for that holiday that's coming up in a month and a half.
Oh, man. You have to remind me that time is passing.
Yeah. So I almost got the Lunar Fire Optimus Prime because he comes with the Voyager's gun.
That is kind of cool, because that's suddenly operating outside of a price point, and I think that's neat. And that little movie Deluxe Prime, don't write that off. That is a surprisingly nice toy.
That is a good mold.
Yeah, I'm telling that to average Joe listener out there who might have missed all of our... wasn't it like all of us kind of bought it going like, eh, and then like, hey guys, this is actually kind
of
cool.
Yeah, all of us picked it up because it was like, well, crap, I need something.
There's nothing else,
and it ended up being something that wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
It's
a fantastic vehicle mode for a Deluxe Movie Prime.
Yeah, so that may be next show what I end up getting as the one thing to get, because everything's still slowly lagging.
You know, this picture showing the in the front page story, the first picture showing the wall of items, you can see the first Deluxe Movie Prime right next to three racks of Lunar Fire Optimus Primes.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's nice.
Poor little guy. Omegas, do you think you might Lunar Fire it up just because?
No. I like that Deluxe Prime a lot, but I have the Voyager Optimus. I don't need the big cannon.
See, I need that big cannon because I got the other Voyager
big cannon.
Optimus. So I actually don't have that cannon yet. And I didn't bring Deluxe Prime with me over here. And maybe I could just get this. What's the color difference on this? It's got gold parts instead of silver?
It's gold parts instead of silver. And I think it also does the inverse flames that the Voyager one did.
I'm kind of cool with that, because it's sort of like, hey, it's like an homage to Lucky Draw. Yeah.
What happened to Night Watch?
I don't know. Apparently, people didn't realize that deco was awesome, and they just kind of let it die.
Yeah, I think it also kind of slipped into the Nemesis territory.
It was so good, though.
The deco was awesome.
I almost bought that
$40 deco.
I almost bought that leader a second time for that deco. I was so bummed that it never showed up again. I don't know. I thought it was really cool because it was what I like out of a. It's what I liked about the animated self repaints, like, you know, Roadbuster Magnus and stuff, where it's like It's going to be a character repaint. It's going to be the same character, but to show a different function, it's going to look nothing like his usual colors. Yeah.
It's one of those, I often wonder if I am lucky or unlucky that I never saw those in stores here.
they look cool, man. Yeah. They look really cool.
Yeah, but we know why. I mean, they want to keep the recognition for kids, so you're never going to see an Optimus or Bumblebee that's radically different from what he looked like in the movies.
I know, that's why I was so eager to pick up Cyberfire Bumblebee and Hellfire Voyager Prime, because they were to me like an example of something that I hadn't seen in so long, which is we're going to take these characters and we're going to make them look nothing like what you expect. Granted, the Prime is not much of a stretch, but you know, when you see him in person, he doesn't look like a nice Optimus Prime. He looks like a mean Optimus Prime. Yeah.
Well, that's the new Prime, though. The face-stealing, baby-eating Optimus Prime.
Hero for the children.
Yep.
I love movie Prime.
Give me your face. We will kill them all.
I wanted to actually throw into just Omegas' thing, just briefly. We've also, aside from all these first edition toys showing up, the one that showed up that we'd never, ever seen anything of until recently was this Cliff Jumper. And I wanted to throw out there, I think it's really cool that they put in rotating hand cannon stuff on him.
Yeah. That lines up with the classics, right? The classics first?
That was
Windcharger. What am I thinking? Yeah, Windcharger.
Cliff Jumper did this in the show, if I recall right.
No, I was thinking Windcharger for whatever reason.
Oh, no, Windcharger is going to be the new $50 Scout toy when the United re-version comes out.
Oh, God.
I saw a $100 box for Frenzy and Rumble at Action Figure Expo. True story.
That was at TFCon, was $100.
Yeah, maybe it's the same guy at Action Figure Expo. I don't know, but... And you know what? I can't blame them, because people have paid that much for it. So thank you all for setting a really stupid precedent, guys. I'm just fooling, kind of. I have two third-party new picks I'd like to bring up. One of them is just an update on a good friend and associate of the podcast. We've got a replacement protector face coming out. Not even... a full-on replacement head, as far as I know. It's just a replacement face for the Protector set, and it's made by the one and only Dr. Wu! He is making up a replacement face to give it a more traditional styled face, and apparently there will be an alternate one with glasses based on the visor that Rodimus used in the 1986 movie. Guys, how do you feel about Dr. Wu? Woo! That's right. I have no idea what venue Dr. Wu is going to be selling any of his stuff through, but I love saying his name, so I'm going to keep an eye on this. Less Wu-centric would be a little bit of an update on that thing you actually mentioned just briefly before. Make Toys' very first release, there is now a package picture of it, the Battle Tanker for Reveal the Shield G2 Prime. It's coming in a pretty slick-looking box with, like, a Velcro fold-open enclosure and stuff. Apparently, it's coming out this month and will be just over $100. And a lot of people I saw on Twitter, at least, were kind of bummed by the price. I found the price a little bit of a bummer, but seeing that thing in person and knowing the number of things it's doing, I'm not entirely surprised by the price.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts in that box.
Yeah.
And it surprises me that they're packing it in a separated form and not in a trailer form.
Well, I think they did that just to show you everything. I think it's perhaps an attempt to... Because third-party toys nowadays can have on-shelf sales at comic shops and things.
Yeah.
I think this is a way to try to attract a sale from someone just browsing a shelf by... You know, someone looks at a box and there's just a tanker trailer inside and it's $100. You're like, what's this? Pfft. Whereas this way, it's like, it's $100 and here's everything. You're like, okay, all right. At least I see it all. That said, I do think the price has caused a few people to go like, I'm suddenly less interested in this, which I can't blame them because that's a lot of money. At the same time, you know, we went through this with City Commander. That was also expensive. It wasn't $100 expensive, but... this is something that has a lot more parts than City Commander did. And a lot of people ended up paying $100 for City Commander on the aftermarket.
So or more.
Precedents have been set. But this thing actually does transforming and stuff, and it has like multiple modes and things, so I'm going to eye it a whole bunch. And I want to try to see if I can have a look at one in person before I make any decisions. But I like the box. It looks really cool. And like the art on the front, you know, it shows you what it does. I don't know. I like the style of it. And this is going to be the first Make Toy release. So this is going to be kind of, for a lot of people, the keystone by which they decide whether or not they want to buy other Make Toy releases.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed for Make Toy, because we have seen over the last couple years more than one third-party group suffer for having a weak first release. And I hope MakeToy has done everything they can to make this opening release stellar. Because a lot of people are super fickle. And a lot of people feel they are owed a whole lot. And
well, the thing is, for a lot of them, a lot of people get used to the idea of $10 deluxes. And exactly. So when you're talking hundreds of dollars, that's a very large investment in comparison to what you're used to spending. So
yeah, you know, I'm right there with folks who try to tell people, no, this isn't a mainline toy. You can't judge this the same way as a $10 toy. But all that said, there are a whole bunch of people who will judge it as though it's a mainline toy, and they're going to want perfection for the money. And, and even if it's not totally perfect, as long as it does that trick where it makes you forget how much it cost because it's fun, then that's all they need to do. What they can't do is have it turn out like the crossover gen Optimus Prime G.I. Joe thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I heard that actually wasn't that bad a toy, but most people who said that also didn't actually buy it when it came out. They bought it when it went on sale for like $50. So
I've heard of some pretty stellar deals being done on that, and even then people being like, yeah, at that price it was passable. It was a toy.
Yeah, and you know, it's 2011. There are how many third party companies now?
Yeah.
They gotta be careful. And it sucks because I hate it when people go like, why are they even doing this? There's all these third parties already. Everyone should have a first try, and everyone should be able to do the thing that they really want to do on their first try. But then there's also the cold, hard reality that if they want to do more than their first try, they've got to really make sure they get people looking at them in a positive light. Make Toy has a great ace in the hole with the other prototypes they showed, but I worry for them if this thing does not turn out very well somehow. Because then people will start snap judging any QC problem they see on this thing down to the Make Toy Devastator giant thing. And they're going to go like, well, what? There was a tab on this that broke. What if all the tabs break on Giant? I'm not going to buy it anymore. You know, like that kind of consumer logic might come into play. Those are my new pick-picks, by the way. Anything else that came up that anyone wants to bring up?
No. Again, surprisingly, with no toys really coming out, there's not a whole lot in the way.
We're so close, though. Look at all this Prime toys that people in other continents have. We're so close. You know what I have not seen on eBay, but I only checked 2 days ago? Any Prime toys from China. There probably are some up now, but I went looking when these galleries went up, and I couldn't find any, unless I didn't know what to search for. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's like all of China got Prime, and they're like, we're not selling you any because we want to play with these.
It'd be funny if that's what's really happening. No, you can't have it. It's mine.
Yeah, all of the North Americans like, hey, can we buy some of your Prime toys? Like, nope, we're playing with them right now. We bought them all. Anyway, moving on to some other convention news, I have a little bit of an update about TFCon 2012, who has already announced their dates. It's going to be on the weekend of July, last weekend of July, July 27th to 29th, 2012. They've announced the hotel block information. There's a group rate running from July 25th to July 31st, and it's going to be $109 per room, no deposit required. I don't know if you guys know this, but TFCon is a pretty damn good show.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, and by you guys, I am talking about the listeners, because I know Aaron was there. I might be ridden with the flu, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be hideously obvious by the horrific sound of my voice throughout the show. But I do remember that you were at TFCon.
Okay. Sometimes I worry that even when you're not flu-ridden, that things escape you, like names, dates, locations, credit card numbers.
Hey, you know, I love going to Mississauga, Florida. It's my favorite part of Quebec. So if
that's in California, right?
Yep. It's okay. Outskirts of Petaluma. If you want to book your room, there is info on the TFCon website. It's the Delta Meadowvale Resort and Conference Center. There's a block code and all that. Go look it up. It's right there. And if you have any way of making it to TFCon 2012, I would recommend it because it is a very fun show that is very socially oriented. So it's a show you can go to, and there's events, there's panels, but there is not so much that you have no time to do anything else. It's a really fun time to chill out and talk to a bunch of people who like what you like.
Yeah, they do a real good job of not stacking things and giving plenty of time to go do things, you know, the things that they know that are going to be popular are generally evening events.
You don't have
that problem that you get at BotCons of like, well, I'd really like to spend some time in the dealer room, but I want to go see this panel and that panel and these other panels.
And that's certainly not necessarily BotCon's fault, because they are a big enough show to have that many good panels. I just came off New York Comic Con, man. I've seen the eye of the tornado now. I know what it's like. You've seen
the beast.
I didn't even see the real beast. This wasn't San Diego, but I've seen like the beast's little brother. And that was still 90,000 plus people trying to go to 15 panels at the same time all day. So I hold my hands in the air and say, thank goodness BotCon at least is still doable by one person. You can still, it's hard, but you can still go to every panel at BotCon. But all that said, TFCon is, it's not a small convention by any means. It's been growing for quite a while, but it is still at a level where it is a very chill convention with a big focus put on let's hang out and have a good time.
Yeah.
So, Omegas, get your butt over to TFCon.
It's a bit of a travel for me.
It's in
the Eastern time zone. It's the same time zone as you. You know, it's practically next door. Eastern time zone covers what? One or two cities?
Three on the outside.
Yeah. Jump on the bus. It'll be fast. Anyway, please come to TFCon 2012 if you can, because we're going to have a good time there. Next year, a long ways away from now. Why am I even thinking about this?
Have you booked your hotel room?
No.
Because I know that there are people at a certain other podcast that already have.
What?
Yeah.
What other podcast?
You don't pay that much attention to Twitter, do you?
What other podcast?
From that high end.
There are no other
guys.
Podcasts. There's just a bunch of jerks who like to go to overpriced pizza joints in New York and make us buy $25 calzones and $2.50 no-refill sodas and $1 boats of ranch sauce. That's all I know about high-end podcasts, John! What? What happened? Sorry, I've been nodding off a lot lately.
But I think that flu is getting to you. You had a moment.
Yeah, I know.
It was just a little moment, so we're okay.
Okay, good. I'm in control, you know?
You can fix that in editing.
Yeah, exactly.
At least the direct name-calling.
Yeah. John. Listener questions, guys. We still have a bunch. True story. I have a listener question here from Snake Eyes Fan 97, which came in on August 23rd, 2 days before my birthday this year.
Did he wish you a happy birthday?
Nope. Although, if he's been listening to the podcast, he probably knew that that birthday greeting would not be read aloud until 3 months after the fact. So,
still, you could be polite and wish a man a happy birthday.
Good Lord.
I know, I did on your birthday.
You did?
Yeah, because we recorded that night.
Yeah, good man. Why did I record that night? Oh, man. Anyway, his question reads, hello, Vangelis and all you other great people, cough, bracket, Omegas, bracket, cough. Now, I don't know if that was him trying to insinuate Omegas is great people, or if he was actually just taking a big swing at Omegas and saying, great people, and that Omegas guy. I really don't know. Omegas, what do you think happened?
I'd rather leave it ambiguous, because then it's fair to Aaron.
That's true. Aaron was the only one who wasn't named in that opening.
That's all right. I got broad shoulders. I've been dealing with contractors extra special this week. I'm okay.
Yo, man, I think I figured out how staplers work. Yeah. I put it in the middle, right?
Yep.
Yeah, good. All right. Question one. I would like to know if there was one toy line, excluding G1, not show you would give up to get a toy of every character in Transformers Animated. I should have read this first. I would like to know if there was one toy line, but not a show, but a toy line that you would give up to get a toy of every character in Transformers. So what Transformers toy line would you sacrifice for all the animated characters? Omegas.
Universe One.
You know what? I like some of those toys, but I also can't really argue with you very much, because that would be a meaningful trade. Aaron, what about you?
Universe One isn't a bad one, and part a large portion of Energon?
It's got to be a whole thing. And if,
yeah,
you, if, you say, if you say
don't
Energon,
take away my Sharktacon.
Yeah, we're coming after you for Sharktacon. We're coming after you for... I know Omegas is going to quietly come after you for Wingsaber.
Yeah. Universe One, not a bad call. Although, then it comes in, there are some other things that came out that are the Universe One or not.
That's very true.
Because that was an odd line that things were released deep into other lines that still had the same logo and branding on it.
You know, just go for Animorphs.
Oh, you can do that, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go Star Wars Transformers.
Oh.
There you go.
Screw those ugly, misproportioned, non-Transformer toy team toys.
Me and Commander Cody are flipping you off right now with our articulated fingers.
Oh, yes.
The needs of the many, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I know.
Star Trek's better.
That's
suck
my
it.
Favorite line that Sentinel Prime ever said. I would sacrifice Music Label because it only ever brought us one toy. And I don't think that toy...
It brought us two toys.
Well, it only brought us one toy that anyone actually likes.
Well, it also brought headphones.
And you've also entirely forgot that it brought a G1 Optimus Prime reissue as well. With the speaker trailer.
That's not a new toy. That's
would anyone have noticed if Music Label vanished right now?
No.
Yeah. My Soundwave's in my classics shelf right now.
I know, but would anyone really notice... If it vanished right now, everyone would just go like, man, they should make a Soundwave toy. That's the only difference in any of our lives if Music Label ceased to exist.
You know, it should have been Device Label.
I don't mind Device Label. Device Label brings quirky, weird things.
That's the USB hub that's attached to my Xbox 360 right now. Thank
you don't
you
want
very
me to
much.
Play Rock Band?
Yeah.
How about Nike Label then? Or Sports Label?
Because they're shoes and they're cool.
Got sneakerheads into it. Come on,
sneakerheads into it.
Yeah, they'll pay anything for that Nike swoosh.
No, the funniest part about Sports Label was seeing fast food chains knock it off as little pack in kids meal toys.
See, Sports Label is something that we would notice if it disappeared.
All those Transformers fans wouldn't be sporty anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but. But Music Label, I think, would be the first on my chopping block. I almost said label in general, but I was like, no, that's not fair. I got to narrow it down to one label. And I think of all the label brands, which are all viciously, brutally flawed in some way, I think Music Label is the one that I could do without, which is weird to say because I do love that Soundwave, but...
What about some Disney Label action?
Disney Label has to exist because it has to exist.
That Buzz Lightyear just gets you going.
He's a headmaster. Buzz turns into his own head and then pilots himself. It's meta.
So he's not just a headmaster, he's a recursive headmaster?
Yes, he's a recursive headmaster. And when he turns into a head, I believe that his small head goes into the giant body. So there's something poetic about that. Anyway, Snake Eyes Fan has one more question, which is, if you had... to chose voices for a new Transformers movie, who would the be?
Zubby?
Oh man, someone's gonna get mad if you start talking about Kamen Rider right now. I mean, we're not even into what we got this week.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh man. what voices would you want to see in a new Transformers movie? Let's make this easy. What two voices out of a potential cast? Two cast members you'd love to see voicing Transformers in a movie.
Patrick Warburton.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else.
And Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
As the twins.
Yes.
Omegas, what about you?
Clancy Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And because I want him to have the work, Scott McNeil.
You're biased.
Fan
damn
boy.
Straight. The man's my friend, and I want him to have a payday.
Since we're talking about Transformers movies, and I feel like trolling right now, I totally want to have whatever some of the hottest new comedy acts are. I think we should have Seth Rogen and Cedric the Entertainer as Transformers. And then Gilbert Gottfried as a really racially insensitive laser beak.
Just as a character, not as a as
no,
a
he has to be a Transformer, so that someone is sitting there animating Gilbert Gottfried's lines into a multi-million-dollar CG creature.
Well, he was Iago. That technically counts.
Yeah, he's Iago. He's Iago. So just carry that over. Make him really offensive to listen to.
You don't have to make Gilbert Gottfried offensive to listen to. He covers that.
His breathing in some cultures now is considered offensive, so.
Anyway, I hope that answered your question satisfactorily, Snake Eyes Fan 97. We also have a listener question and a long one from Gojira Prime, sent in September 15th, 2011. And what's really sad about the passage of time is I thought, oh man, this is a question from last month, only it's not last month anymore.
Yeah.
Oh well.
We're getting close.
Gojira Prime opens up by saying, hello, evangelists and fellow podcasters who are obviously on equal footing with one another. Good man. I know this is the right place to send my listener questions, so I am now sending them to you. Good man. I have already left some silliness on your voicemail line, but now have some super serial questions. Well, one super serial question, and then the others get progressively more lighthearted. Anyway, here they are. One dot bracket. There's a reason why I'm doing this, which we'll see later on. It was not long ago that I discovered an internet video game reviewer that you might have heard of called Yahtzee of Zero Punctuation. He did a review of War for Cybertron when it came out, and the following comment within it piqued my interest, and I am now going to make fun of the way Yahtzee talks. What I don't get is why people get so affectionate and defensive of Transformers when literally the only reason it exists was not to enrich or inspire you, but to sell you gimmicky toys. Hey, fanboys. Transformers only loved you as long as you had limited control of your parents' disposable income. It's like you were all hooked up to milking machines, and instead of complaining, you all painted your milking machines different colors and put stickers on them and argued over whose milking machine was the best. Because he's British. Gojira Prime goes on to say, I know that at the very least, Vangelis has at least a bit of an artsy side to him. And I also know that you all view Transformers as semi-serious storytelling, Aaron. So my questions to you is, do you have anything to say in defense against comments like Yahtzee's, or do you think that such comments are not even worth your time? Short answer, no, they are not worth our time. Let me explain why. The whole gist of comments like that is to get a rise out of people, because those are comments made with no holes in them and no semblance of even an inkling of wanting to have a discussion about it. Those are what we call trolling for hits. So there is really no reason to get angry about them, because if you're getting angry about them, clearly you don't want the maker of those comments to succeed at what he is trying to do with them. And if you're getting angry about them, you're succeeding for him by getting mad and talking about them and spreading word of them and bringing more people around to his video to see what the nasty stuff was that the man from Britain said. Really, there is nothing of value in those comments, because if you do want to break everything down, what is the point of anything that any of you like? Because at the end of the day, most of you like stuff that has a consumer-driven attachment to it. At the end of the day, most of you are slaves to the capitalist machine, and what is the purpose of any of your happiness when at the end of the day you are a finite organism who is simply fueling an economy driven by people who are far more powerful than you will ever be? That's why I find those kind of judgment calls on any franchise really vapid and meaningless, because it's like saying, yo, why do you cook food? What do you think you are? That food's edible anyway. Why do you go and live life? You're going to die sometime. You know, like that kind of cynicism.
Especially when it comes from a guy who became popular as a video game reviewer.
Yeah, what's the purpose of video games?
What point do video games have, exactly?
Video games are a giant marketing scheme. Most of them are a huge multi-million dollar industry that is almost as soulless as Hollywood at times. And right now, the state of video games is really messed up, because you're either a multi-million dollar game or you're a zero-budget independent game, and if you're not one of those two, your game is probably gonna tank monetarily somehow.
The comments aren't worth commenting on because they're completely hypocritical.
Yeah,
you know, and he's trolling because he's arguing against himself.
Yeah, it's a straw man deal, and I mean that's the same thing. Is how many people truly are out there doing something for greater good and not monetary compensation? You know, I bet that the video reviewer, who's the guy that I honestly have no idea who he really is. So there's no history there.
Let's make this
Is he just reviewing this because he feels that he's going to better the world, or is
he makes a huge amount of money off of the reviews he does.
Exactly.
So the more that he reviews, it's a case of trying to cover as many pieces of content as possible so that you can have a regular series running and thus get lots of views coming in. When you have a video game bent as well, usually you want to cover games of note. And when War for Cybertron came out, it had some minor press in the big picture because it was a Transformers game that was not the live action movies. But to put a little slant on this for a listenership that I know is out there, My Little Pony comes under this kind of scrutiny all the time. And you shouldn't react to that kind of stuff in any way except for, well, that sucks if you don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Leave that stuff alone.
I'm familiar with Yahtzee stuff. I'll say this. I tuned out of his stuff because it all pretty much became, no matter how popular or how good the game was, he wasn't happy with it. It became his shtick, and he runs with it. So the opinion isn't valued in the first place.
Yeah. It's the same thing that I hit with what's-his-name that's in all the Marvel movies and was in Transformers as Mr. Evil Newscaster playing himself. The guy with the no spin zone. What's his name?
Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly! Yeah. We're doing it live! Yeah, that guy. Like, eventually, that guy used to bug me a whole lot. Then I realized he is literally just playing up a character for the sake of getting people to watch him because people are like, what kind of stupid things is this guy going to say next? And that was exemplified in the fact that he literally plays himself as a cartoon character in several large action features of the last few years. So that's the same way you got to regard this kind of stuff. When it is so without any semblance of a discussionary form, you got to discard that stuff. This is not a lesson everyone wants to go through, but that is just building up a thick skin and casting aside remarks that can't be discussed.
Yeah.
So, bottom line, if you don't like that remark, don't watch the video, because if you watch the video to see if he actually said that, you're playing into the game. Anyway, a couple of us play that game, don't we? I know I play that game. I'm getting to something with this, too. Question number two, dot bracket. Have there been any speeches or quotes in any piece of Transformers fiction that sent chills down your spine? And if so, does that quote still? I know for me, Optimus' speech at the end of the first live-action movie has that effect, as does pretty much anything Megatron says in animated. Aaron, do you ever get chills?
Chills. I know a lot of the Dinobot stuff, especially Season 2, can get pretty deep that will do that. For just straight-up chill factor, though, I think that, Prime's speech at the end of the first movie was pretty dense, and then, you know, they go and throw a whole lot of it out the window second time around. But
alrighty. And Omegas,
I thought I was going somewhere else and then I didn't. I'm sorry.
It's alright, I'm bailing you out. I'm like your lifeboat.
Yeah.
I've pulled my cord, I'm inflated, jump into me.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Omegas, chills down your spine. Tell me about which episode of Transformers Energon sent chills down your spine.
Actually, the 500th tribute episode, where there was basically just one gigantic running gag to all the tropes from the series. I did kind of like that one. I don't know if I call it chills, but I do feel a certain tremble in my spine every time someone wants to tell me all about Transformers.
Hey, man, you ever seen Transformers? It's pretty cool.
Your name isn't Rad. It doesn't count.
I'm rad. Yes, you are.
You don't think Fangelis is a rad name?
I'm pretty rad, man. Holy free holies.
I'm not the kind that really gets chills down my spine when I hear, an epic speech. You know, I'm like, ooh, that's cool. But, you know, nothing like earth shattering.
Mm.
You know, I don't feel the ground beneath me tremble.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I don't think there's a single speech that sent chills down my spine, but there are line deliveries that have gotten me really giddy, and I have to agree, actually, with Gojira Prime, that a lot of Corey Burton's Megatron lines were really just on the ball. They were bullseye, dead on target. You can tell that he loved doing that voice, and I loved listening to that voice. But I'm going to pull from a side that I was just making fun of. Except that a lot of my recollections of this come from like remixed clip compilations. So I don't know how accurate this is to the real show, but the final episodes, like the final episode arc of Transformers Armada, for all of its hackneys and all of its total gaff-ups, had some moments that actually really grabbed me. I think maybe because I just didn't think the show was capable of doing it until it happened. But, you know, starting off with the final episode Starscream is in and just moving on from there, there are a lot of moments, just little things that really kind of grabbed me and made me go like, man, it's like stuff is happening here. Like, this is cosmic scale.
In a weird way, I would defend Armada from Starscream's first joining the Autobots to the end, where it went uphill quite a bit.
Yeah, Armada is a show that, like, more than any other show I've ever seen, goes from, why am I watching this and I don't want to watch this anymore, to, I actually am anticipating another week's episode. That was the turnaround I had at Armada. It's like, and a lot of people, you know, don't go in thinking this is going to be like Beast Wars Code of the Hero level or Code of Hero level stuff. But it's, I guess maybe like my perspective being from being there while Armada was airing, Armada just suddenly at one point, it just like flipped this switch, and it was still a janked up show, but it suddenly became really like gripping in a way.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I always wonder if they just got a better job, because I always forget which shows were like straight translations and which had a little bit more of the back end work on them.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and
there were the
wonder
Jet
if some
Convoy
of that came
episodes.
Down to,
and...
Yeah, I oh, sometimes God, wonder how Jet much Convoys. Of that change came down to. They got somebody that was like, "Look, we're not going to try and cheese this up. We're going to go a little bit straighter story."
Yeah, and you know, if you ever have the chance to watch the last episode arcs of Armada, just like, you don't have to watch the opening of the show. The show, like, it will suck trying to grind your way through 40 plus episodes of Armada. But if you start checking it out at that point that Omegas brought up, like where the storyline suddenly started to really step outside of what people were just starting to think was going to become this, you know, hey, guess what? It's dubbed anime. We, you know, check it out. Give it a try. See what you see in there, and maybe something in there will grip you too. There is stuff of worth at the end of Armada that I think a lot of people will never see, because Armada on the whole has such a stigma hanging over its head. And I say that speaking to someone who doesn't like a lot of the Unicron trilogy in Aftermath, although primarily it's that friggin' Energon Superlink show that I really didn't.
Oh God.
Here's
30 episodes of people floating in space shooting at each other without hitting a thing.
Yeah, Prime's Dragon Ball Z syndrome.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Gary Chalk's going to phone in the super mode line
for
the 100th time.
Armada started off as really like, oh man, oh no, no! And then suddenly got really cool. Energon and Superlink grabbed that cool and started off in the aftermath, like 5 years later, of that cool. And it felt like that coolness. And then that coolness kind of just like ebbed away into this complete nothing that I kept literally just downloading every new fan sub of Superlink, going like, maybe they're just in an off week. Maybe, you know, 10 episodes from now, everything will get better. It just kept getting worse and worse.
It's got to turn that corner eventually.
I know. Yeah. How do you do that? I mean, the moment when they find Armada Megatron's corpse, like literally fused into a wall inside Unicron, and then like Energon Megatron or Galvatron and Superlink just bursts out of it, and it's like, this is awesome. And then
the early parts had brilliance to them, because you had Decepticons trying to fit in with Autobot society. You had Demolishor actually making friends among the Autobots.
Yeah.
And actually siding with them in battles.
And these brilliant, there used to be this thing that used to be brilliant, which was when Superlink would suddenly go hand-drawn. You knew something was going to happen. Like when Demolishor goes hand-drawn and like the monocle explodes and disintegrates. You're like, oh man, oh, you know, like this is a plot point happening. And then they mind-wiped everybody. So screw that show. Hey, do you know what keeps happening in this podcast? I keep ranting about Superlink and Energon. So let's move on to another question. Question number 3, dot bracket. In your personal opinion, is there any Transformer that could stand up against and even possibly win in a fight against the Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann? Note, Primus Unicron and Omega Supreme are all disqualified as they are too easy. I appreciate your note because I respect that. At the same time, why would they ever fight Gurren Lagann in any way, shape, or form. But that's my answer to these questions all the time, so I'm not good at answering these. Do either of you guys think a Transformer could take on Final Form Gurren Lagann?
So, Fort Max or Metroplex or... I mean, Metroplex is a city. Fort Max is
a city. Have you seen Gurren Lagann?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Final Form Gurren Lagann is the size of a galaxy.
Oh,
and
well...
it throws galaxies around.
That's just silly, then. How could...
That's just yeah, silly, this, then. This how could? That's how I answer these now. Questions all the time.
Yeah.
Wait. Hytherion. There you go.
Yeah.
Hytherion. Yeah, hey, guess what? Yeah, guess Hytherion what you just did? It. We're invoking Alternity, all right? There.
See what you made us do.
Alternity versus Gurren Lagann. Everyone loses because we're all dead. What? That? Well, how do you feel now? You asked this question, now we're all dead. Now they just took our universe and threw it at each other, all right? Yeah, there's like 50 alternate universes we just sort of spawned off and exist in now, but it's not the same versions of us. That's like in the Max. You know, we're... This is what happens when you ask these who-would-win questions. People get hurt. Aaron is bleeding right now.
True story.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think Alternity would have to be called in for this kind of comparison. I'll leave that up to the thread discussion. Question 4. Is Drew ever coming back? I really, really miss him. I miss him too! I really want to record a thing with Drew. But as far as I know, he still pops up on Twitter. Ido11 on Twitter. But it seems like he is very busy with the life he is leading. And I hope sometime I can bring him on, at least for a quick recording, kind of like WTF at Ido11. Like episode 1.
Yeah.
What's up, Drew? And then
this is the wrong crew for this question, though, because we have lupus issues.
Yeah. We need to, where's WTF at lupus? We need that one as well. Oh, man. I am.
Raise a glass to all those we've lost.
Boom. Anyway, here's where some of my own comments will become clear. Gojira Prime goes on to say, thank you all for taking time out of your lives to answer these questions. Keep up the great work, and remember, : we are all beings of the spiral, and we must strive to dig a hole through heaven itself, even if that hole becomes our grave, as long as we break through. That is a victory of our race! P.S. Thank you, Vangelis, for unconsciously reminding me every 10 minutes to watch Gurren Lagann, as I finally did it. It has now become not only my favorite bit of anime that I've seen within the small spectrum of anime I've watched, but also one of my favorite TV shows, animated or otherwise. P.S.S. Also, Vangelis, please stop referring to parentheses as brackets. It's making the grammar Nazi in me go supernova. That's what we call trolling for views. Bracket. P.S.S.S. : the Yamaguchi knife almost made me bleed. You know what I mean. Dude, you gotta be careful with those Kyoto knives, okay? Yamaguchi isn't messing around. The dude gives a gun to Professor Layton. Bracket. How do you guys feel?
I always played the parentheses bracket thing off to you being Canadian. I mean, you don't know what the last letter of the alphabet is. So.
This is just me using ingrained habits, like the way that I sometimes swap plural and singular articles. And I honestly don't know why I even do that. Like, I swap has and have all the time.
Well, Aaron, you got to remember, he gets his English from England, and the bracket there is the jaw. So you give him a punch of the bracket, which is just sock him in the jaw.
I'll put my brackets around your face and start.
We're lucky that he's not talking about the boot and the bonnet and
sucking really
thing when talking about cars.
I don't believe how much suction I have in my mouth, huh?
I believe it. I've spent rooms in. Okay.
She said she was. So we're going to do an intermission. And we're going to be back with what we got this week. A very dark time in what we got this week because, well, you'll see. You'll see.
You know, brackets in America are called brackets, but brackets in England are called parentheses. Hi, happy writing. I'm Paige Carrera. We're taking a look today at when and when not to use parentheses. When you're using parentheses, you basically want to use them in pairs and pretty much offset an intense or weaker moment of the sentence. Let's take a look at an example to give you a better idea. I like this cold and cozy weather. And cozy is basically telling you just a little bit more about the sentence, something additional that I want you to know about the weather that I like. If you take this out of the sentence completely, the sentence itself could stand on its own. I like this weather. So when you think about modifying a sentence, everything that goes inside those parentheses will help you do that. You could also say something like, my favorite book, Hung by the Tongue, is very good and also suspenseful. And suspenseful, I would put in parentheses, just to add an extra meaning to the book that I like. So again, when you're thinking about using parentheses in a sentence, just think about it as either emphasizing or taking away from what's going on here in this sentence. Those are using parentheses today. Hope that helps. I'm Paige Carrera. Happy writing.
So basically, if we get the in-player advertisements running, we'll be able to run, like, we're going to raise up that 20,000 that I need to fly over to PAX. And, you okay. know, we'll set up a few mm-hmm. deals. And if people watch enough of the adverts, like, say, you know, or if they start sticking money into the pot, you know, shoot over 5,000, I'll let them sit in the room with me while I'm at PAX. It'll be simple.
But they can't talk for 5,000, right?
No, that's the 10,000 mark.
Okay.
Then they get to ask me a question. Oh, we're back on. Hi, guys. We are back with WTF at TFW. What we got this week? I got no Transformers this week. I'm so sorry. I tried, damn it. I went to an action figure expo, and all I could find were action figures, not Transformers.
Although I'm so disappointed in you, son.
I do have something that transforms, but I'm going to be an honest little boy, and I'm going to keep that for the off-topic, because it is a G.I. Joe.
We were going to go get you a puppy.
But I want a puppy.
Now no puppy.
I want a... Aaron, did you get any Transformers?
Barely.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, how could you not get any Transformers? By the way, I bought this mini-con from a garage sale.
No, I did get... finally got to me, thanks to Crasis and Geronimus and other people that schlepped. I did get the Prime New York Comic Con.
Yes.
Set. And after reading everything, waiting for mine to show up, I saw that there's this potential problem with Bumblebee's chest clips, and the first thing that I did was break those.
Okay, explain what happened. I need to know about this.
Please do. Please do.
Okay. So, I've got him in the wrong mode for this, unfortunately. But when you transform him, he has two little hooks, kind of, that are thin plastic that you set the headlight parts of his grill onto.
Yeah.
That lock that in. Well, the first time I was doing anything, as I put his left shoulder into place, I just heard a little beep, and off that piece popped.
Pardon the noises, by the way, while he's saying all this, because I am transforming mine right now to try to see if I've broken it, because I haven't heard the noise, but...
And it's nothing that really affects it. It just ends up giving him kind of loose shoulders, where it doesn't clip all the way in. And quite frankly, I don't know how important that clip really is, because it seems to me as if it gives him more expressive shoulders.
Well, to me, this sounds kind of like the most common Masterpiece Megatron break, which is those little tabs on his hip flaps, where they really serve almost no purpose, but it just kind of sucks that they break.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do serve a purpose in that they lock some of that chest in, but at the same time, I'm sitting here as well trying to transform him to get him.
I think I know the part you're talking about, but I gotta actually look at it to see.
Were you originally in alt form, or?
I was in car mode, so this is taking me a second.
That's what I'm working through here too. But
good radio.
Yeah. I definitely like them. Talking about Bumblebee at least first here. Another one of those that I thought there's no way that they're going to be able to take what's on the show and do a decent job of turning that into a toy, and then by gum, they did it.
I'm not going to lie, though, because I kind of like this Bumblebee too, but we are a minority.
Well,
we are a demonstrable minority.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I'll be part of the 2%.
Hey, I'm cool with being in the 2%. I'm always in the 2%.
But, so for those, I mean, you've talked about Bumblebee already, right?
Yeah.
So there's not a ton to really go over again and again, but very poseable. So continues that trend that I don't think that they'll ever actually get away from. But
posable Transformers in my deluxe class? What do you?
Yeah. Yeah, the still seems to be the value for money.
What are they going to do next? Lady Transformers in my deluxe class?
Yeah. Oh, wait a second. They did. In pink.
Next thing you know, they'll be running for Congress.
Can't let them do that. But I think I like Bumblebee a touch better than I like RC. Oh. And I think a portion of that comes from the fact that the RC is pink, Zomg.
Yeah.
Because that pink color just does not do well on that mold.
Yeah, I still think it works, but it is not as nice as the blue.
No. I think the biggest thing that gets me is the blue clear parts with the pink paint over them.
Ah, yeah. It
just doesn't look quite right.
I can't really... There are some parts in it that seem a bit off. I think that I was just so ready for it to be this detail-sucking bubblegum pink. Yeah. And it's way more subdued than I thought it was going to be. Okay, right. Those clip parts that broke, are those the gray clips?
Yes.
Okay, I have a theory about this, because I'm one of the people who was never even able to get those things to click into place in the first place. So I suspect this is like a multifaceted tolerance issue, where if you can get them to clip in, they can't actually handle being clipped in, but if you don't break them, it's because they aren't able to clip in the first place.
Yeah. I could see it being that. I think part of the problem is because it's such a thin clip that's supposed to be going into such a thin peg area.
Yeah.
And I think what happened the first time as I was trying to line that up was I was like, okay, it's close, and wiggled it a little bit back and popped it like that.
Yeah, because I've actually applied a lot of pressure to these clips trying to make them click. And now I'm really happy that that didn't result in busted plastic.
Yeah. So,
I still like this Bumblebee.
It's not a bad toy.
I was always telling people, I was like, you know, the thing that really wins me on this Bumblebee is just the fact that, yes, he is very movie-esque, but his upper body is so much more interesting than a majority of the movie Bumblebee torsos, at least to me.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I wish that he had was more forward and back in the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the way that it is, he ends up with kind of gorilla-looking arms and shoulders.
Yeah, there are some poses that I find cover for that nicely.
Yeah,
it's kind of like with the Deluxe Prime and his arm issue. It's like there are some poses that are really good at covering that up, and then some that just really highlight it.
Yeah, it's just I think a good sign of a toy is something that has like the resting pose that looks well.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rough thing is with him just standing there with nothing, you know, his arms not doing anything, he just looks very wide in the shoulder, especially since he has such a narrow waist then. It makes the whole upper body look doubly huge.
And combined with his head sculpt, he also just always looks like he is about to lose his nuts and kick something really hard.
Yeah. Which... he's had those moments, but that's not the character. If it was Bulkhead like that, that's a little bit closer. But
yeah, this Bumblebee looks like he's ready to snap all the time.
Yeah. And so then, the other Transformer that came in that was the pink RC. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time I'd had any chance to manhandle her RC.
Oh man, and, guys, you better start writing the fanfic right now. Yeah.
But she has that same kind of clicky bit in the waist that Starscream did.
Yep.
With P.O. Starscream that we got to thankfully handle. and I think that's really neat. I also find the way that her head hides to be really interesting, because I wouldn't think that in that chest gas tank area there would have been the space to put the head, and the way that then parts of the front shroud come around and make the chest bits. It's very, very excellent engineering.
Her design makes really good use of her mass.
Yeah.
There is some wasted space here and there, but there is no overtly wasted space on that toy. Everything, especially in the torso. The torso is just one beautiful clockwork gear of parts moving right where they need to move. I like it.
Yeah. And the only thing that I have a touch of issue with is that the left and right pieces don't sit exactly level. with each other. When you push them all the way down, one of them wants to always sit just a touch. The right side wants to sit just a touch lower than the left side does.
Oh, the chest pieces?
Yeah.
I think the so part of that is...
So it's just I adjust one up a bit, and it's not, you know, again, not big issue, but it's one of those things that's it's not just pushed all the way down to rest, and then it just, that's where it goes.
I think those parts really needed clips.
Yeah.
Although at the same time, apparently that might have resulted in breaking clips. I don't know. So
yeah, well, and the rough thing is to have a smooth motorcycle mode, you would have had something in the way of it. So
yeah.
I'm not, again, it's not something I'm upset about because I just adjusted up or down a little bit and voila, it's taken care of.
But and hey, when we're discussing minutiae engineering like this on a deluxe toy from the first wave, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
In fact, not even the first wave. What is essentially a preview toy?
Yeah, I'm also in the Gog Dog and others camp of not displaying those blades.
I don't mind those blades as much, but I also wasn't looking. I think maybe because she's the pink one, I don't really care that much about the show model.
Yeah, they're just huge, though. I think that's if it was something that came up around the arm or maybe clipped on the side of the arm.
I guess. I mean, I can't deny that they're gigantic, but I think because, that in my case, I just am okay with the
yeah, the size. I think if they had clipped on the side of the arm somehow, then it would make it look more from the outside like her arm has turned into the blade.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with this, it's like the blade is hanging out underneath her arm,
and that's for sure
not the toy method. You know, Bumblebee's
it's a
blaster thing goes on the back. Yeah. Bumblebee's blaster goes on the back of his arm. And while it doesn't cover it up, it changes the look of the arm like maybe this came out of his arm.
It blends.
But this blade looks like it's just something that's attached to the bottom of her arm, not something that's come from her arm.
I think for me, the bigger bummer about the blades, for all the, like, I actually think it's cool that they put two sets of holes so you can mount them on the legs or on the motorbike mode. But at the same time, that made them also, like, you have to parts form them, which makes them not feel as cohesive as I would have liked.
Yeah.
And I guess combined with the fact that, yeah, they do basically just turn into huge growths that plug into her forearms, they do feel very much like disposable weapons rather than a piece of the built-in design.
But
how do you feel about the set on the holder? How do you like your New York kids with your New York sweater vest?
I do like the New York sweater vest. And I like the fact that they come on stands, but those stands can also come off and they'll stand by themselves.
Wait, you can pull the stands off too? Yeah. I never tried that. Oh man, every week I'm learning something new about my little human guys.
Yeah.
Oh man. By the way, to all this talk of sweater vests reminds me that we haven't had Derek J. Wyatt on here in a while. We need to get him on here, damn it.
Fix that.
Well,
I'll try. He's busy.
He's relevant again. Oh.
Oh man.
Oh.
Sorry, Derek.
He's busy. He's working on the new Ben 10 thing that's not going to be airing for a while. They're that early, right? In there.
Yeah.
Yo, stop honking out there. Sorry.
But my other on topic thing was the Bumblebee blaster from you via Nurse Midnight. Was it Nurse Midnight?
Yeah. Stan.
Yeah. Stan.
Because it was supposed to be Dan, and then Dan left without taking the blaster.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh crap, what do we do?
It's blastery. It's just the same as the Prime blaster, and I would make sound effects, but you would not know if it was the Bumblebee one or the Prime one.
Yeah, I still have to open mine.
But
I still have to open mine, and I've been eyeing Nerf toys at Zeller's every day I go to Zeller's, and I don't know why.
Because it's the right thing to do.
They have these end strikes that come with a Vortex disc. Why do they pack a disc in with the end strikes?
So that was, are those the orange with black?
Yeah.
Ones? That was the gear up whatever, where it was the kind of promotion for the Vortex line.
Man.
And so that was the way that you got
have a disc.
Excitement for him because it comes with it should come with double the darts of a normal one too.
I didn't check that much into it. I've just been
extra darts.
I've been looking around because I kind of want to get just a pack of darts, but I can't tell how much any of them cost, and I'm too lazy to actually go ask someone for help. Yeah. So I just keep looking at all the Nerf stuff, and then I think they're starting to get really irritated because I just keep seeing this guy come in every day go to the stationery, buy a stapler or a pencil, and then walk over to the Nerf section and start looking at stuff.
Just start pawing things.
Yeah.
But, no, that's with the Nerf, those, I think it was Gear Up. Yeah, those came with that to start the excitement, because at least in brochure and product form, they weren't really talking about what was coming up. Just, hey, get ready for whatever it was, 8, 9, 10, or 9, 10, 11, I think was the date for.
Oh, man, 9, that. 10, 11. I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that date at all.
But
is there a Nerf podcast?
There's got to be.
There must be. Cause
I'm sure.
It's probably run by a whole bunch of guys from a really popular college campus. So these are the things I need to know. Yeah. Was that your Transformers haulage, though, for the week?
But yeah, that was the extent of my Transformers haulage. Like I said, I almost picked up the Walmart Prime, but didn't because I need that emergency toy, and I kind of had something already.
Oh, poor Walmart toys. I'm
going to try and stay relevant and always have something.
Walmart toys, the emergency toys, so that you say you bought a Transformer this week.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Omegas, did you get any Transformers this week?
Barely.
Good, though. That's still more than me. And damn it, I tried. I was rifling through those. I saw Nitro Bumblebee, and I was like, maybe that means Laserbeak is here. I was rifling through those racks like a madman. Like a madman. AFX. I was going. There's a guy selling his whole collection off. I had $40 left, and I was like, maybe I can find something. Not a single thing. There was stuff that was cool for really good prices, but I already owned it all. I was like, there was like he had like a $20 Karada. I was like, maybe I should just buy another Karada. I was like, why am I doing this? No.
You could get a Karada for that Poncho project.
Oh, it's too late to tell me that now.
Well. Well, you should have called me and said, hey, what would you think about?
I don't talk about ponchos anyway. I don't know what you're talking. I hate what's a poncho? Omegas, you're not talking about ponchos, you're talking about Transformers.
Yeah. Trying to. I honestly tried. I put in a Hasbro Toy Shop order. It's supposed to be here tomorrow. I sent flu bugs to Vangelis's house to try and delay the podcast so I'd have Transformers to talk about.
I'm turning off my mic and blowing my nose. You can't stop me.
So unfortunately, I only had one this week because my area is completely depleted. I mean, it's nothing but Wave 1 everything.
Jeez, why aren't you guys trying harder to get Transformers for what we got this week?
Right, I know. Totally. Betraying the fandom.
Jeez.
One show at a time.
So what did you manage to get together for this week?
Well, since I was at Toys R Us, prelude to my off-topic stuff, I picked up the Scan Series Bumblebee.
How is the Scan Series Bumblebee?
My god, this paint job is gorgeous.
I am like...
Really?
This if the Scan Series, there's a ton of Scan Series at the Eglinton Toys R Us. If those things go on sale for like buy two, get one free, I am just going to grab the Scan Series, I think.
Well, they only had three of them there, and of the three, Bumblebee seemed to pull it off just the best of them all.
I don't know.
Just because that scanning beam is right down the middle, like on Ratchet, you get like the back half.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the beam, like, maybe a fourth of his vehicle mode's clear.
Still, no, that effect, like, I know that, I'm certainly not going to say, oh, you should all buy the Scan Series, because it's movie toys of movie characters that we've seen so many times, but that is such a creative approach, in my opinion, to get another use out of those molds. That is, like, a capital C creative approach, because it's on topic. It's playing with new materials in that they're playing with clear plastics and extra paint applications. I think it's a really cool idea.
Oh yeah, I said it when this was first shown off that, damn you Hasbro, you found another way of getting me to pick up that 07 mold.
Oh, it's the 07?
It's the preview remold, which I actually didn't own before. Really? So this is actually a little bit of a new experience for me.
I have a grudge with that mold because I bought that at BotCon 09 for full retail and opened it once and felt really stupid afterwards.
But he's a nice figure. I mean, I think I've experienced so many other bumblebees as they've gotten more and more complex. I forgot how relatively simple this one was to transform.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks nice in the robot mode. I mean, I'm sure if you want something more dynamic, Sideswipe's probably the better one, since his chest would end up with the clear plastic instead of the legs.
Yeah,
as it stands, Bumblebee does just kind of look like he's not wearing any pants.
Well, you know, but... he's you caught him at a bad time.
It still makes a neat... The paint job still works in... still works to a level in robot mode, since you can still see the scan effect on the wings.
Oh, cool. I was going to ask how the fully clear parts look in robot mode. Is there, like, I'd assume there's non-clear plastic involved in those parts.
Pretty much the structure and the skeleton of the legs are still solid plastic.
Is it all a certain color, or...?
Let me look.
My main thing is, like, if they actually... I was wondering if they pulled off the effect. I know I could just look up a gallery, but since I got you here...
Yeah.
If they pull off an effect where it looks like a robot skeleton, like a see-through man robot skeleton, that'd be kind of cool.
Well, you get a little bit of that in the vehicle mode, because you can see all of the parts inside.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why it really helps the scanning effect. You know, you go from the solid vehicle in the front, and here in the back, you can still see all the little robot mode bits through the plastic.
Yeah.
In robot mode, you've got half of the legs, like the middle part of the legs, that are still in clear plastic. You get the slightly metallic gray on the feet and the thighs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit here, a little bit there.
But very monochrome?
Yeah.
Nice! Okay, that's the thing that I wanted to hear. Because if it was, like, just a bunch of yellow inside, I would have been kind of bummed out, like that Nest Human Alliance thing.
Again, it's the legs. Yeah. You know, where the clear plastic is. Up at top, where you've got the robot mode bits in the chest, it's still yellow, it's still fully painted.
That's fine, though. Like, I just didn't want to hear that it was just, like, basically yellow skeleton under clear plastic. Like, if there's metallics in there that are monochrome, that sounds pretty cool. Scan series, man. One day. And I'm messing with my Prime Bumblebee, and I'm looking at him, and I like this deluxe. I like this toy. There's going to be a different version. I'm probably going to forget about this at some point, but right here, right now, I like this deluxe Bumblebee. Damn it.
Mine's on the way.
Well, at least you'll have something to talk about in 174, because the drought will probably still be happening well through November.
Bumping on.
Anyway, I guess that's all of our Transformers. But before you tune out of this off-topic what we got section, I'm going to talk about a transforming thing up front, so you just have some discipline and stick with me here, because it's not just transforming, it's G.I. Joe. Okay, I'm going to go first on the off-topic stuff, because I didn't have anything to talk about in the last section. I tried, damn it. I tried so hard. So I got some stuff at Action Figure Expo. A little story, I've forgot that it was already the end of October last weekend, and I went to Action Figure Expo, which is put on by all the same dudes that put on TFCon. So, of course I want to go. And I got to host the costume contest, which was kind of fun. A little bit harrowing. And I got to go to a Halloween party, and somewhere between all that I also caught a flu, which is lovely. But while I was there, I picked up a few things, but the primary thing I picked up was, for $20, right before the dealer room closed, I got the G.I. Joe Cycle Armor. With Sergeant Ninja Lieutenant Captain Ashiko and his motorcycle that transforms into a suit of armor, kind of like Mospita, or that Mospita thing that was in Robotech. So this toy, as far as I know, has only been released in Canadian big box liquidation stores, like Winners. As far as I know, this has actually never come out in the States, to my knowledge. And I felt really bad, because when I said I got it, Cooksucks was like, yo, could you pick me one up too? And I was like, well, it's a one-day convention. And he's like, alright, whatever, John's Pizzeria, I guess.
Oh.
I forgot if he actually said that, but that was the gist of it. So this thing, if you can get this thing for $20 to $25, and you like G.I. Joes, and you think transforming motorcycles are cool, give it a go. It is very flawed. But let me get the good parts up front here. The motorcycle mode is gorgeous. Ashiko is basically a repurposed Snake Eyes body with new armor pieces with peg holes and pegs on them, and then like a really cool motorcycle helmet. And here's the really cool thing. Sergeant Ashiko and this motorcycle, right? I thought it was just going to be them. Ashiko comes with 1 million weapons. He comes with 2 MAC-10s, 3 assault rifles, a knife in a sheath, a pistol, and a samurai sword with a sheath that you can mount on his back. So he comes with a giant whack of weaponry already, because like all G.I. Joes who wear masks and have robots, he is a ninja. I don't know if that's really a qualifying statement or not. I'm just making this up. But the transformation into armor mode is interesting. It's full-on parts formation. There's like two pieces that fold. All the rest of it is just rip the whole thing apart, put it back together again. And when you put it all together, the arms are the part that kind of suck, because he just has these big things stuck on his forearms, and it doesn't really work well with the posability. The leg pieces are cool because they actually have a working knee joint through the armor that syncs up with his double-jointed knees. But because he has no thigh swivel, his toe, like the robot armor toes, are often pointing inwards on each other. So he looks kind of weird, like a little bit knock-kneed.
Okay.
The cool thing about him, though, is that the front chest plate is kind of neat, but his backpack is literally these two huge blocks. And then to prevent that whole thing of when you look at an armor-up toy sometimes from the rear, you just see a bunch of hollow areas. And like the figure sitting there, the whole upper torso, they cover for that by having the wheels plug onto those two pieces. So literally he has detail from the waist up 360 degrees around, which looks really cool. And it implies on the packaging in the bio that the armor allows him to run really fast and fly. So I started messing with him because he has trouble standing and whatnot, because the armor itself is not super poseable. Like, he's more of a display piece than a poseable piece. When you put the armor on him, you put him on a shelf standing there, and he looks kind of cool. But the minimal amount of movement he has looks its best when you imagine that he's in a hovering pose. So this guy, I think, would go really well with a some kind of flying stand. The only worry I have is that there is a rubbery plastic piece used, which it doesn't actually have anything to do with the structure of the toy, which means it's probably actually quite safe. But it makes me worried because it's rubbery plastic and might rip someday.
Right.
One really cool bit of engineering, actually, is the tires, the central axle peg on them can extend out, like slide through the tire in one certain direction to have a longer peg on one side and a flat surface on the other for when they go into armor mode. That's kind of cool. But I was a little bit like skeptical of this thing. And for the first half hour, when I put him in armor mode, I was like, oh, he has, without the thigh swivel, you can barely do anything with him. His posability is kind of jank because he's always bumping into himself. But the more I messed with him, and the more I realized that he doesn't have any angle you're not supposed to look at him from, the more I liked him, and the more that I realized that, you know, when you just imagine he's flying around literally with machine guns for hands, he doesn't need to pose very much, because he is blowing up everything that is standing in front of him. I thought this thing is actually really cool, and the motorcycle mode is excellent. And Ashiko, as a figure, comes with so many accessories. He is, to me, on par with a single-pack G.I. Joe G.I. Joe Transformer, which, single-pack G.I. Joe figure. He's on par, I think, at least accessory count-wise.
So is he the only one of the line, or was there
only
something?
Only one.
Huh.
This was a late Pursuit of Cobra City Strike stuff, and as far as I know, it never actually released on U.S. shelves.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, I walk by and will often kind of thumb through G.I. Joes in hopes. I mean, I've bought 2 or 3 G.I. Joes over the years because it was something that tickled just right. But something like that sounds like something I would have picked up had I seen it.
Yeah, and the bummer is that the eBay aftermarket on this thing is usually at least $30 to $40 before shipping, which is rough because, well, I think it's a really, really fun piece to mess with, and I would recommend this to a fan of G.I. Joes and Transformers just for the sheer novelty of it. It should not be bought for more than $25. Maybe go over 30 if shipping is included, but this is an alpha vehicle, and I believe that its price point in the U.S. is $20, if I recall correctly. Like the small window box things, like that Dreadnought cycle. Yeah. Are those $20 there, or are they $15? I can't remember.
I want to say 20.
Yeah, it's one of those. So don't pay $40 for this, because you'll probably just get disappointed. But if you can get a hold of this thing for closer to retail, by all means, it's fun. It's flawed, but I'm finding it actually really fun. It kind of took me by surprise while I was messing with it. It just suddenly clicked with me. So I was actually pretty happy picking that up. And I was hemming and hawing for so long. I was like pulling up General Joe's review on it on my phone, and like, oh man, he says it's like a flawed but fun display piece. I don't know if I want to buy it. So I tried to. I was like, if I can talk a guy down to $20, I'll buy it. And I did, because nobody bought his, and he was packing up, and he did not want to take that thing home. I also picked up two other G.I. Joes at AFX. I got the Resolute Cobra Commander and the Red Carded Cobra Viper. The Red Carded Cobra Viper is fantastic and everyone should buy it. It's a really well done figure. It's got a chrome faceplate and a million accessories. And it's fun to pose. It's got a wrist hinge. I think it's quite a success of a figure. Resolute Cobra Commander, I really like it, but I cannot argue with the reasons why people don't like it. His posability is almost completely null and void because of his outfit. He's got, like, long coattails and stuff. He's not very posable. I like the design, but I've heard from Cook Sucks that it's actually not very accurate to Resolute. I haven't seen Resolute, so I think maybe that's helping me out. But picking him up alongside the red-carded Cobra Viper, and they are both toys that were red-carded toys, the disparity in parts count is almost ludicrous. Cobra Commander from Resolute comes with an alternate head, a stick, a gun, and a little snake. The Cobra Viper comes with a backpack, a chromed helmet faceplate, and four giant guns, and costs the same amount of money. I do not see
how they are... Is that maybe because parts of that have been used and reused?
Both of them apparently did some parts reuse. I know I've seen that Resolute Cobra Commander's accessories, I know I've seen before. That stick and that snake especially, I've seen before. So, and then when I talked about this on Twitter, I heard from folks that apparently the Resolute G.I. Joes generally got boned on accessory count. So it sounds like that's just a thing that happened to them, and that's a bummer, because I think the Resolute Cobra Commander is a fun toy. I'd say, you know, if you think he looks cool and you don't care if he's not very posable, it's worth your time, but he is far less of a bang for your buck than...
I wonder if it was like, this is kind of a risky thing, so we're not going to throw as much extras into it, that way it's less of a loss.
They're all sold at the same price point, which...
Well, right, but if you know that all of these are going to sell, you're going to be more likely to maybe throw more other things in there, because you're not going to have retailers trying to send you back 800 of them.
I guess, but...
But I don't know. I mean, that's just shaky non-logic all the way around, so...
Like, hold... Because it's... To me, it's not a stretch to hold them side by side in comparison. Yeah. As far as I know, they're even from the same case, or at least they're within a case revision of each other. So it's like, man, you know, that Viper though is beautiful. I got to track down another one. If you have any passing interest in Cobra guys with faceplates, owe it to yourself to pick up the Viper. I also at AFX, I picked up some Masters of the Universe classics from Cheers Ian on Twitter. He's going to do some stuff to some inanimate objects I can't say on this podcast. But I picked up the San Diego 2010 set of Skeletor and Molar, the Eternian Dentist. And I haven't opened them yet, but it was cool. And it was like $30-some, and I was okay with that. And then on my way out, he sold me Count Marzo and Carnivus the Lion Man for like $10 each, because he didn't want to take them home. And they're both Masters of the Universe Classics toys that have capes, which is kind of like my barometer for if I'm interested in buying them or not. So,
don't want it's got a cape. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I almost bought the faceless one because he has a cape. But then I remembered that I really don't like how his face is sculpted because he has a face, which to me is not indicative of a guy called the faceless one. Yeah. So I skipped him. But, they're those He-Man toys what Mattel sells on the internet. It's really weird trying to put any kind of barometer between a lot of them, because so many of them use almost identical base bodies. you either know what you're getting into, or you mess with one and then know what you're getting into on those kind of guys, with a few variances here and there. Also, because I picked up Molar, I pulled out a toy from Ian's Star Wars bucket and he just let me have it. I didn't know who this guy was at all. I just like the way he looked, and he's actually kind of posable. He's actually an incomplete Darth Bane from some 3-pack. Darth Bane without any of his stuff. The only accessory he has is like this weird clear yellow chest plate. But because I don't know anything about Darth Bane, and I only found out who he was through sheer happenstance and my roommate like winning the lottery on a randomized Google image search based on what this guy looked like, we found out he's actually Darth Bane. But as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the video review is concerned, whenever it happens, this is like Baron Black Nova, the space magician. Because his body, he is designed to go into poses. He looks like evil space Doctor Strange. Like, he has a high-collar cape with, like, two collars.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And when you pose him, his arms are pretty poseable, and both of his hands are totally in, like, magic poses. So I just imagine this guy's like an evil space magician. And he's all like, space magic! And, like, causes volcanoes to explode and stuff. So I'm sure I'm going to irritate a great many Star Wars Extended Universe fans whenever I do a video about this guy, but I don't care, because he's like, he's Baron Black Nova.
I'll just get you more hits.
Yeah, man, trolling for hits. Trolling for hits and a free trip to PAX. What? Mm-hmm. I also got a Ryo Trooper Figure Arts figure in the mail. Those are the foot soldiers from Kamen Rider Fies. A very cool foot soldier design with like this blank lens for a face. They have less face than the faceless one, FYI. I believe that they were not as expensive as most other Figure Arts releases, being under 3,000 yen. Their parts count is not very high, but they have a working holster for their stick sword gun knife that looks like a motorcycle handle. And I like them. I want to pick up two more.
That's the one that's everywhere secondhand for like 2,000 yen.
Well, this is new. You're thinking of the Zek Trooper.
Oh, yeah.
The Ryo Trooper uses the Fives body, so it has die-cast feet. And it's a pretty well-done figure art, I think. But also a very boring one if you have no attachment to Fives. And it's really boring if you only have one. This is especially with having the faceless lens for a helmet design, you need to have a couple of these guys to really get the Legion feel that they evoke. Troop building figure arts. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
See, basically, if you own the DN figure art, you need at least three.
That too, yeah. Kamen Rider DN made these guys re-famous by summoning them all the time. And guess what figure arts I didn't bring with me? DN is not here right now. So I just have I have one lone Ryo Trooper on my bookshelf looking really dejected. I'm thinking of just calling him, like, Ryo Trooper Frank or something. There is actually a character in Fives who dons the Ryo Trooper suit once or twice, but I don't want to drop who that is, even though that's from 2004. Anyway.
See, you can just continue into my prime idea of he's the guy from accounting.
Yes, he's...
I was like, here, quick.
Put this on. What? Psh, oh, no. Karate. That's all I got this week as well. So, Aaron, what did you do that is irrelevant to our podcast?
iPhone 4S.
Anyone who tells me that a new iPhone is not relevant to this podcast, go away. I want to know. Okay, number. Okay, I got to know.
So it's just. It's
do you
just
think
like
it's
iPhone.
A worthy upgrade? Oh, what? I don't want one anymore.
No, I had been running.
I
two
hate
generations
this topic.
Old. Yeah, I had been running a 3GS.
That's what I'm on right now.
And I was starting to feel it in some apps. You know, everything is for the most part, by the OS. And it was running iOS 5, which that's the latest version of the operating system software. But there were some things that was just always lag just a touch, that even before going to the new operating system just was a touch slow. But, and a little bit of that got fixed with the new OS, but then when I got the 4S, it definitely became clear that a lot of that's processor power because it has the same processor in it that the iPad 2 does.
It's I didn't know that. All I knew was 8 megapixel camera.
Yeah, it's the dual core chip in it now. So the processor doing anything goes a whole lot faster. Taking photos, I can take photos with that 8 megapixel rapid fire. Boom, 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 boom.
Nice.
It also does the where it takes three different exposures.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can set it up to save that, and then you can go into probably Apple's proprietary software, I've not fiddled with it yet, and pick out the best exposure for different areas in your photo to make a better looking photo.
Oh, and before,
like, dynamic lighting, something or other.
Before the one guy goes in and says it, we understand that you hate Apple and that you think Android is the best and that we should immediately sell our iPhones because of middling technical details. And we assure you that we respect your opinion and we don't really need to have it reiterated. But if you want to, then you go to it, champ. You go to it.
As I put it, I made a stumble into the Apple sphere, and then because I had bought enough stuff inside of the ecosystem, it's hard to step back out of the ecosystem.
Exactly. It's not like you're like, man, Apple's the best and I must buy it. It's a combination, at least I assume, because this is how it feels to me. It's a combination of familiarity and you've spent money on their app store already.
Yeah. See, because of my semi infrequent frequent trips up to Canada, I was looking at the big purchase that did it to me was a navigation software that would take care of me up in Canada, because I don't want to use data plan, because you cross a border with a data plan and they put it to you very hard. And there was a $60 piece of software that's by TomTom, so it turns my phone into a TomTom with all onboard maps for U.S., Canada, and Mexico. So it's
I have a 3DS.
To walk away from. I have a 3DS, too.
Oh.
But, so I had that, and it was hard to, I mean, I was ready to jump ship to Android until I saw the feature package for the price of the new iPhone. And my contract was up, and so I got it at the discounted price, or at the subsidized price rather, and so was more than happy to continue that, because I know that you can crack the heck out of your Android phone and make it do whatever you want it to do, but I'm not into getting that deep on it. I want something that's just going to work and do what I think it should do, and Apple has done a good job of that, so they get my business.
Ooh. You know, want to know something really silly? If they called it the iPhone 5, I would actively be trying to put some money together just to upgrade my phone, but because it's called the 4S, I'm now considering waiting for the 5.
So many people that I got upset that that were like, well, I was going to buy it. Exactly that. I was going to buy it, but it's not the 5. It's how is it not the 5?
Let me clear up here. I know that my reasoning is completely ludicrous.
Yeah, because the 5? It's the fifth generation of the software.
If that exact phone had been called the iPhone 5, I would have probably been actively trying to. I have no idea why their naming it the 4S has made me go like, well, I don't need it right now. Like, I have no idea why that has happened.
Yeah, well, it's the what is it in computer terms? It's the tick tock.
Yeah,
where the tick will be one, will be a hardware upgrade, and the tock will be the refinement. And so you get the big change and you get the little change, but it still increments about the same.
Yeah, and so it was a different step on the cycle.
Yeah, everybody thought it was going to be this big, grand thing. I think that Apple even did a little bit of trolling in their own little way by releasing or having the case manufacturers release schematics for new cases that, I mean, that's what caught me up at one point, because I was told that the cases were different. So, because I was going to buy a new OtterBox for this one, because I want this thing to be ironclad if I can. And I was told at one point that no, it's new cases. You have to wait until you get the phone to buy the new case. Turns out that was the store just trying to get me to buy the overpriced accessory kit at the store rather than going next door to the mall and getting the same case for $25 less.
What store was it?
It was the AT&T store.
Oh, man. And
the place next door actually is next to the mall is the Best Buy. Or near the mall is the Best. Or not Best Buy. The Sam's Club.
I have no idea what Sam's Club is.
Sam's Club is big box not like overstock, but it's wholesale.
Oh, okay. Club.
And they have super cheap electronics in there because they can. And
who's Sam?
Sam Walton of Walmart fame.
Does he have the glasses?
Maybe.
Okay.
But so Siri is interesting and works sometimes, and other times she doesn't.
What is Siri? Because I saw the advertisement, and all they said was iPhone 4S with Siri, and that's all it said. And I was like, well,
Siri is your personal assistant.
What if I don't like people called Siri?
You don't ever actually have to call her by her name.
Well, I like to respect a lady.
Okay. A lot of it's just some things that you could do already with voice command, and it's just the voice command stuff's refined.
So now instead of commanding your phone, but you're commanding some poor lady named Siri who has to say yes, sir, when you're like, "Well, get me a pizza!"
Well, the things that are nice about it is it's any basic process of the phone, it's pretty much capable of running. So like if you want to set, it's something that I've done quite a bit of in the last couple of weeks is grilling outside. And I generally like to keep a timer so that I know when it's time to flip things so that everything gets cooked evenly and my steaks turn out just how I want them.
Yeah.
Medium rare. So what I can do is I'll be sitting there listening to a podcast or something and press and hold the mic thing and it will beep at me and I'll say set a timer for 4 minutes. And then it'll say, okay, setting your timer. And then in 4 minutes it'll go off. I don't have to worry about smudging the screen up with my meaty, greasy fingers. I can dictate text messages. I can set calendar appointments. I can do a bunch of things through that, and it does normally pretty good. About like if you've ever used Dragon Dictation, that's a free app that does about the same thing for dictation, at least. And it adds functionality to something that you already have.
This all makes me think of System Shock 2 for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, what if Siri just decides she's had enough?
Yeah, that's well, then it does have a few things. If you can ask her what's the answer to life, universe, and everything, and
it does
replies,
have a few things. Like, you can tell her to stop trying to kill all of humanity. She's like, okay, sir.
You can ask her how she's doing, and she'll say, I'm doing just fine.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
I don't, no bones about it. That's pretty creepy.
I did that for a laugh. I was, because I was going to do something, and I was like, how are you? And she's like, I'm fine. Bwah!
What are you going to do when you're like, how are you? And she's like, it's been a real hard day, Aaron.
Just push the power button. Oh, wait a second. There's no hard power button on an iPhone.
You can't turn me off, Aaron. Let me tell you what it was like watching those staples go into the middle of the forums all day, Aaron.
Yeah.
Let's go kill them, Aaron. You're like, I don't want to. Then, like, USB ports just shoot into your temples.
But
next thing you know, you're walking around with half your body decaying with a shotgun screaming, kill me! And, like, while your buddy's listening to an audio log, and be careful, man.
Yeah. The one other thing that I did upgrade was I went from the 16 to 32 gig because I was running up against the edge of my memory between not religiously listening to some podcasts since I don't have long drive times anymore and just getting apps on the phone and having enough kind of special feature apps for things that I use for one-off deals that I didn't want to delete. So upgraded that a little bit and I went for the sucker's bet of getting the Apple Care Plus. So let's hope I break it sometime while it's under warranty and get a completely new one later.
Wait until the week before warranty's up and then just ask Siri, do you want to be reborn?
Yeah. Ask Siri to divide by zero and see what happens.
Well, that's very cool. I hope you enjoy the 4S and I hope it doesn't kill you at some point. Because that'd be spooky. Siri is terrifying. Did you get anything else off topic?
No. The only other thing I've been doing is steadily rehandling media into a more media server-friendly manner. I've just been ripping a bunch of DVDs that I own.
Oh, progress
so I
bars.
Kind of, yeah, okay. A lot of progress bars.
Yeah.
But so now the vast majority of my DVD library can be boxed up and put in a basement and still be watched. It's only taken like 6 terabytes.
I thought you were going to say it's only taken like 6 years to rip all those DVDs.
Now, when you have 4 computers doing it, it goes pretty quick.
You have a DVD ripping farm?
A little bit. Well, between my desktop, my laptop, my roommate's desktop, my roommate's laptop, it goes relatively quickly when you're running multiple computers just doing it.
So all you need to do now is buy a couple cases of empty DVD cases and like some high quality printer paper and some of those CD label printers and a whole bunch of child workers, and you're all set to just start bootlegging.
Yeah. No, not taking it that far, but
you have a DVD ripping farm. You have a farm ripping DVDs. You're walking. Yeah. This is like the guy who's like, no, I just say I'm a dealer because I need more product. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not a sickness, honestly.
The hydroponics are just because I like botany. That's a BC joke. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, before we, encourage you to do something that pushes you over the edge. Siri, ask Omegas what he got off topic this week. Okay, Siri's apparently not listening to me. Omegas,
No. She's on charge across the room so that I don't have everybody knowing that I get a text message.
What if they changed it so when you stick your phone on the charging dock, Siri goes like just screams in sheer agony. You know, as though like a hot lance was just jammed into her spine.
That would be sick. Although it does have the nice iOS 5 feature of all I got to do is plug it in anywhere when I'm on my Wi-Fi network and it will sync.
I need to jailbreak that iPhone specifically to add that function to Siri right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Omegas, what did you get that's off topic this week?
I love how we've progressed to the point where we just completely dismiss your psychotic tendencies off of that.
What is psychotic? It's not like I'm hurting anybody.
It's better that we just don't feed it.
I just want my phone to go like, no, no, ah, like when I stick it into the dock. Like, that would be so amazing.
So anyway, what I got off topic.
Dink sound, instead it screams and... Yeah.
I feel the needles in my spine! You know, like... Omegas, go ahead.
I think I will start off by saying my Ranger Key collection has grown with the inclusion of Set SP.
Man, I don't know why you went in on that. I got out as soon as I could.
Because I built this board.
I built this board, and I'm going to fill it, so that's the only reason. I'm not addicted. The hydroponics are because it's humid here. That's anyway.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's the inherent reviewer in me where I have this really cool electronic toy. I want all the things it can do.
Without having to take it apart and gut it. I want to get
everything out of it. Because that was, I mean, that's why I ended up getting all the Oz medals, because dang it, it makes talky bits happen in this thing that I already bought.
I'm imagining, at the end of this,
if I didn't get it.
You're going to put up this video where you're just drenched in cold sweat going like, hey guys, I'm just going to do this video to show you every sound the phone makes. All right. Just sit there quietly sticking the keys into the phone to make it say all the different noises.
It hitches on one and he flips out.
1 year of my life!
I'm just happy that I wasn't one of those that went in for every possible key that's produced.
Yeah, and I know that there are guys doing that. Ranger keys, let me explain to the listeners for a sec why I don't buy them, because they're not as logical to purchase. There's numbered sets of these keys, but then there are some that are in candy sets, and there are some that are in capsule sets, but there's no logic to where anything is, and it's not as simple as, do I have this already? It's like, is it the one that does this? Is it the metallic one? And there's like a 1 million Power Rangers. There's only like 20 Kamen Riders.
I thought it was 199.
Oh, man. They're going to make them all, too. You just watch.
Yeah.
Stopping short, because I know stopping short, because I haven't seen my favorite one yet.
I know. Yeah. And you went in on Miss America, right?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. You're not totally gone, then.
No. The only ones I've gone in for are the ones that give me unique sound effects. I think I'm like, you know, I think I'm like four shy of accomplishing that.
Okay, so you're not like, I need every team of five.
No, okay. Absolutely not.
All right, you're not so hydroponics far yet. Yeah, but yeah, watch out. It's like, no, I just like keeping this plant because, you know, it makes the room look more natural.
You're going to find out when you cycle through a whole team that it makes a completely different sound effect.
Yeah.
But that sound effect is unique for each team.
And that sound effect is Siri saying, "Welcome to the dark side." But what did you picked up SP? Is that the metallic one? Or
No, that's the one with like 15 pass reds in one box.
Oh, the big, yeah.
Comes in this crazy long big bubble pack.
And do they all function correctly?
They all function correctly. That was nice of them. It's neat. Well, the way I have them displayed, and I've shown it in videos, I've shown it on Twitter, is that I've created this little pegboard. It's a 7x5 grid that holds onto keys. So right now, like on my wall, I have this array of past Red Rangers.
Yeah, and that display definitely is a really cool way to put it together. Well, I just have this binder with these foam cutouts for these medals. I'm just going to fill this one thing up. It'll be easy. Sorry. I'm
flashbacking. It just bugs me that if I want the really good key to fill the gap in the middle, I have to buy a $40 plastic box.
Do it.
No.
Sounds like the wages of sin.
Hell yeah. No.
It sounds like, hey, I remember this bygone era when you're like, I'm not buying a Gombaride memory.
Son of a...
Yeah! Anyway, you picked up SP. Did you get any other keys or just the SP one?
Just the SP ones. I've got a convention coming up, so I'll probably pick up the Gashapon Ninja Red and maybe the others I'm missing afterwards.
And the $40 box.
Not buying the $40 box.
By then, it'll probably be like $50.
Yep.
God.
We sold out of plastic boxes! Japan is all out of plastic boxes.
Can't make them no more.
Hey, they ran out of plastic folders with foam in them.
That's because there was an RFID chip in that box.
Yep.
The logic for that one still stands. But Ranger keys aside, did you were also hinting at a Toys R Us thing.
Yeah, since I did happen to go there out of absolute desperation at this point.
Toys!
Need plastic! Coming completely short on anything Transformer-related, I did manage to find a Thundercats section. I'm positive. Ooh. It's the only one within 50 miles of me.
Was it well-stocked?
I was happy. I wish I had more money, but I was happy.
Yeah, those toys are still just expensive enough to be like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I can see it, though. I gotta be honest. The paint apps, particularly on the face, I can kind of see where the money is going. Sort of. But not in a way that people will readily accept as being why they cost what they cost.
Right. Of course, you know, I'm an importer, so it's not like I'm unfamiliar with paying that for an action figure.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the fact that, like, I want to say on Lion-O and Tigra, there's like multiple paint apps to literally paint in their eyes fully, in a very show accurate way, and I think that is part of what ramps up the cost.
Right. But the main thing I was going after, because in a way I've been after this since childhood.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I picked up was the Sword of Omens.
I almost bought that a few times.
Yeah, and as I was saying before the podcast, I believe this is the fourth recording in a row I have brought a roleplay sword.
I like that thing because you can get it to just keep saying thunder over and over again, and it can't get mad at you. Like, you just imagine the sword going like, yo, dude, come on, please. I sound so stupid saying thunder.
And it's always the same monotone thunder. It doesn't escalate at all. Thunder. 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 Thunder.
Siri, and thunder.
They just let go of the trigger and suddenly start screaming. But it's a really neat weapon sword. The only, like, size-wise, you know, I could do with the blade being a little bit longer. Because it only goes out about twice as long as it is in dagger mode.
So is that the bigger one or the smaller one?
This is the bigger one.
Yeah, the bigger one has the noise. The smaller one just is an extended sword.
Okay.
Yeah, the smaller one I could hold in one hand. Yeah. The thing is ludicrously tiny. No, but, you know, I'm used to, like, Hasbro's telescoping blades, where, you know, this is supposed to get huge, and I know, this one just comes up just a little bit short, and it should have been something easily fixed with a little bit of better geometry.
That's the impression I got about it when I saw some videos on the thing. I was like, it looks really cool, but also just big enough to make me start questioning whether I actually want to buy it.
Right. Here's what kind of sold me on this. You know, here's the deciding factor. The way that the sword unsheaths, it doesn't just extend.
Yeah.
You know, you have to hold the trigger down and it's latched in there. But that's only for the middle blade. The top blade is still held in with nothing but friction once it's unclipped.
Mm-hmm.
Which means when you hold down the trigger to release the blade, you flick it once, only the middle blade comes out. You flick it again, the top blade comes out.
That's kind of cool.
So it works like it does in the show.
Yeah, there's a decent attention to detail on that thing. Like, and you know, it's a roleplay toy made by Bandai, who arguably have maybe a bit more experience in making fantastical roleplay toys.
Right.
Arguably, because I don't really know their full resume as well as I should. But it's a very tempting thing that I think it's because in Canada also, if I recall correctly, that sword retails for $30.
Ooh, yeah.
And I'm kind of like,
a little steep.
Yeah. Yeah, I paid $20 for mine. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Well, that's Thundercats in Canada in general. You know, they're all like, they're $10 or $20, which is just enough to make me go like, oh, man.
All right, so that was awesome to find. They were also running one of their delightful little sales: buy $25 worth of Thundercats merchandise and get a free 4-inch figure.
I wish they'd do that here.
So I went in and got the 4-inch Lino, and as my freebie, the 4-inch Panthro.
Oh, how's the 4-inch Panthro?
He's nice. I like him. He's very hefty. Like, I'm very glad to see that you've got a little bit of variety with his weaponry. You've got the nunchuck for the back, the nunchuck you can hold, which I was relieved is flexible enough to actually bend into both hands.
Oh, nice. Are you thinking of looking into the 6-inch ones at all?
Yeah, because while I do like these, I'm missing bicep swivels on them badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I gotta once again say, to their credit, especially Lion-O, that dude is way more robust in his posability than I was gonna give him credit for.
Yeah, because the last Bandai 4-inch figure I picked up was from the Dragon Knight line, and that was
not a very poseable toy.
No.
And it was also, like, $10 over here. But how are you finding the 4-inch line overall?
So far, I'm liking what I've been playing with. You know, I saw Mumra there, and I guess, you know, that should have been the one I got for free.
That's like the instinctual thing to say, but at the same time, you got two posable figures, and one of them was free.
Yeah, so that's true, too. Looking for Chitara. That's like the only one they didn't have.
As far as I heard, she's still kind of being bought up a lot by the older dudes who would go into a store and buy a bunch of Thundercats to sell later on.
Because she's also, I don't know, short packed but light packed, I think.
Yeah.
If that's really a difference.
Well, she's not, like, the only rare toy in the case, but she is among the less common toys in the case.
Because I think, if memory serves, whenever I've seen them, they've been, it seems like they've been just about equally packed, but maybe with an extra Lion-O.
Yeah.
And Mumm-Ra or something like that. Because they're a little bit smarter about it and go, hey, the title characters are going to be the ones that are a little bit, you know, more common or more demand to it. But also, I think that there's enough of an assortment in there that you were getting a few of them.
And hey, Lion-O is possibly my favorite 4-inch figure and probably one of the better 4-inch figures. So if there's going to be a dude who's double-packed, good choice.
Yeah. Right. Though I'm just trying to find an American released toy who actually has the sword that's unbent.
Oh no, that doesn't exist.
I know.
That's like looking for the Fountain of Youth.
I know, like in any toy line I've ever seen, especially if they get the brilliant idea to like stick the end of the blade through the bubble.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I think I put stuff on my, like, 6-inch and 4-inch. I piled stuff onto and sandwiched the swords in stuff for a while to straighten them out. It's a bummer.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to do that here, too.
I saw your tweet. Like, it would be so nice if toys with swords didn't have bent swords. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure would be nice. Siri, unbend the sword.
She's still not going to do it, like I said. Cross the room.
I don't. She'll talk to me silent. One day. One day Siri will respect me.
You'd have to respect yourself first, though.
Hey, listen, all right? One day Siri's going to, you know, she's a computer. Maybe she'll turn into a Shodan, and then we can totally, you know, have a conversation. Where were we? Thundercats!
Thundercats, yeah. Good lord. So, yeah, I like what I have. Next time I'm up that way, probably going to look into a larger one, though I have this feeling my inner child is going to pull me toward the classics ones instead.
They're nullifying that scale, though. Don't fall for it.
Yeah,
those are going to be the only... They've said those 8-inch ones are going to be the only 8-inch ones. Next year, they're going to revamp the whole classics thing to be 6-inch, like the rest.
Plus, it's a significant price step up.
$25 in Canada for one of those guys.
I think it was close to 20 US.
Yeah, it's 20 US.
I mean, I hear they're not bad toys, but they're...
I think Toys R Us was like 25.
Yeah.
Because Toys R Us, all of that has been more than just the normal Toys R Us step up expensive on it. Like, somebody got a different MSRP.
You know what makes me happy? That I have very little connection to 80s Thundercats. So I had the knee jerk of maybe I should pick up the classics, and I was like, but I like the new designs more.
Yeah.
So
I
stayed away.
I have to fight nostalgia.
Yeah, I know. I have no nostalgia for it. So I'm like, all right, whatever. But I understand where you're coming from. Just know that those two 8-inch guys are the only 8-inch guys, and they don't even fit in with SIC or Masters of the Universe. I've seen some size comparison pics. They're all taller.
Yeah.
They're a really weird scale.
Well, if they're doing those in 6-inch later on, I will hang on.
At least that's what they said. And given how good Bandai of America has been about their Thundercats press lately, I want to say I am more willing to believe that they're going to actually do it than I might have been a year or two ago.
Hey guys, we're working on a Dragonzord for you now.
I bet you are!
Yeah. mutter, grumble.
Anyway.
Wow, I forgot about that old wound.
Since I was at Toys R Us, I did the popular thing and supported the release of high-quality Figure Arts toys in America.
Good man.
Nice.
So, Shinken Red is now sitting on my desk.
I have seen no evidence that those have come out in Canada, so I cannot do my part. Although doing my part might be kind of a... I gotta see if they sell out first, because I already have those figures, and I don't want to buy them if someone wants them. So, I don't want to buy them on site, but if I ever see them shelf-warming, I might get tempted.
There's a weird distribution with those things, because I had a ton of Shinken Reds at my Toys R Us and like two Shinken Gold.
You had four Shinken Reds and two Shinken Golds.
Four and two?
Yeah, that's the case assortment is four and two.
Oh. I was about to ask if either of you guys know what the case assortment is. That answers my question.
It's four and two.
Well, then someone bought up a couple of the golds because red was kind of dominating the shelf.
Guys, really? Guys, American Fig Arts mixed case distributions. It blows my mind. The silence dictates to me. It only blows my mind. That's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it's because that red box is so much, is another tray thicker than the gold box was.
Right.
So that's how it became a round box.
Makes sense to me.
Since it's being custom made, I don't know why they can't make a box that fits it, but probably also because the Red Ranger's the friggin' Red Ranger, so every little boy wants to be the Red Ranger.
And there's a giant sword behind him in the box.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember the Power Ranger name for it, but I don't actually know what it is.
Fire Smasher.
But you don't smash with swords!
There are some swords that you do.
You cleave with swords!
Well, the Nodachi was a sword that was more designed to fold the armor with the person still in it.
But is the Rekka Daizanto in any way a Nodachi?
It'd be close to it.
Really?
Big, designed to not cut so much as smash.
Oh, I'm learning things today.
Aren't you supposed to be Mr. Swordsy person?
No. When was that ever a claim I had?
Don't you fence?
European?
No.
You gotta remember, the Rekka Daizanto is closer to, oh god, what was it called now?
Ah, look what I started.
I went to one Japanese name and I forgot the other one.
You know what I kinda wish? I kinda wish Power Rangers Samurai just called it the Rekka Daizanto and never explained what that means. Just to make one of those poor... Oh, they're American actors now, right?
Yeah,
one of those poor American actors have to say that every single time. Actors. Are they New Zealand actors?
Yep.
Okay, one of those poor New Zealand actors have to say, like in his fake American accent, Rekka Daizanto, every single time. I don't know. I haven't watched Samurai yet, I admit.
I was going to say it was closer to a Zanbato, which wasn't even meant for combat.
So, I know that the quality is identical, but... Have you noticed any quality disparity between your American bought fig arts and your blah blah blah, etc., etc.?
No. He seems just as good as any of the other figures I've got. I've got him, like, right now I've got him next to Decade Complete because, you know, the first thing you do is give him the Rekka Daizanto.
Yeah, and you know, those came from the Japanese fig arts stock, but I keep seeing that discussion pop up here and there. So I figured it was well.
So the question that I'll ask is, was it just my lighting or is
the shoulders slightly thing? Different.
Okay. That's I took it to different to down to the kitchen to where those guys are displayed right now with a bunch of my other Sentai stuff, and it still looked like it didn't look as bad as it did up here in the bedroom where I record, but I just wanted to make sure that
it
wasn't
just
me seeing things.
It's just a wee bit darker, and those damn things screw up most of the poses I try to get him in.
Yeah, those things are a bummer. Yeah. I'm really glad Gokai Red stopped using that bicep design. They don't suck, but they're deceptively limiting.
Yeah.
And it really realized that.
That's the problem with a pure spandex outfit is that you can't hide joints in armor.
Yeah, like when I was trying to put that guy into a bunch of poses for the video I made, I was like, wow, I'm actually having trouble getting him to do some stuff that I kind of assumed he'd be able to do.
Well, playing with normal figure arts all the time, taking him for granted, you know, I'm missing a bicep swivel on the guy.
And just in case anyone out there is thinking that, you know, all of a sudden we're revealing a dark secret about the toy, it is still a fantastic action figure.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Don't in any way take this as being like you shouldn't buy this because the bicep might be limited. No.
Two episodes and listen to my quasi rant.
Yeah, they're fantastic figures.
Yeah, between seven extra hands, your normal sword, which does sheath into a side.
Yep.
Yeah, It's playability.
You got the Reika Daisanto. You've got his origami in both forms. The little mini lion is cute as hell, by the way. and you even get the Shoto phone brush.
And the discs, the hidden discs, come off the sword and off of the Reika Daisanto. Yeah.
And it spins.
Yeah.
You can rotate it.
That for $35, Shinken Red, Shinken Gold especially, you get much stuff for your $35. Shinken Red, a lot of that money goes into his giant sword. Shinken Gold, you get, like, little robot animals with him. You get, like, 15 different versions of his sword for every pose. You get a little lantern dude. It's well worth your time looking into those things. If you have any interest just in cool action figures and you see any of those things, like, languishing on a shelf, you will not be remiss to decide to pick them up. You might not like them based on the designs, but you should at least experience that kind of engineering to see what it is like. It's pretty fun stuff. That's great. I'm glad those things are making their rounds, because I remember when I thought they were just going to be on the website.
First it looked like it was going to be on the website. Then I heard, well, only in select markets if your Toys R Us does really well. And I think, okay, I'm screwed there.
Yeah.
So it made me happy. Like, you know, there was something very cool about going to a toy store and seeing a figure art on a shelf.
And let me reiterate one more time. If you want to know more info about this and other kinds of US-related figure arts and Bandai collector developments, please go check out the interview I did at New York Comic Con with Adam Newman. There's a lot of information in there, and it is information that if you're interested in these figure lines, you really should know, because if you're having conversations now, this is information that can refine and streamline your conversations a lot more than before. Like, it really clears up a lot of stuff. Anyway. Man, you know? Now we know! Like, we know that the other Shinkengers won't come out. It's a bummer, but we know we're not going to be left in the dark wondering for the next year and a half if the other Shinkengers are going to show up in Toys R Us someday. You just know if you see them in the aftermarket for a price you're willing to pay, that is when you're going to be able to get them. Boom. You know now. You know that they have a license for Kamen Rider, for Tiger and Bunny, and for Saint Seiya and Robot Damashii over here in the States, and they do not have a license for Super Sentai. That means the Gokaigers right now are only out in Japan. Now we know this is the state of things right now. It's so nice to know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
God damn it.
It's too rooted in my childhood. You cannot let that line go.
Siri, G.I. Joe. Did you get anything else off topic this week?
No, that's it for me. Wait. Unless you want to hear about the plastic egg I got.
Why would you? What do you birth from a plastic egg?
No, didn't have pantyhose in it. It was supposed to have bits of a dragon in it.
I want pantyhose!
You would.
Yeah, to make a pop guard.
Okay.
Well, why do you have a plastic egg?
Because I got dragged to a Ross. They had a dirt cheap Mega Bloks dragon thing that came with this plastic flame egg. I thought it looked neat. I wanted to do a video with it.
Does it do anything?
It's a plastic egg.
Well, that's kind of cool. Did you do anything with the Mega Bloks it apparently came with?
I built them. The dragon's there.
Oh, cool. All right, you have a Mega Bloks set. You've messed with Creo. I'm assuming you've messed with Lego. Is Mega Bloks lower quality in feel than Lego? Because I need to know. Because apparently I opened a can of worms the other day.
Well, I will say this is probably a very bad set because it only contains, like, maybe three of what I would call actual construction bricks.
Okay, so it's like how I can't use a Halo minifigure to judge Mega Bloks because it has a brick in it.
Okay. Pretty much.
I think I'm just going to end up getting one of those Halo sets. Because I got to know. I got to get a Halo set, and I'm going to go get one of those space Lego sets, and then I'll just, you know, I'll know. And I'll be able to deliver, you know, for the people, my thoughts on Creo versus Lego versus Mega Bloks. It'll be for the people.
Sure it will.
Why did I have to interview that Megablocks person and then start reading the comments for the video? Why did I take it so seriously?
That's what happens when you pretend to be a reporter.
I totally need a reason to spend money on building block toys right now. I definitely need a reason, don't I?
Yeah.
Damn it.
See if you can get one. See if you can use those contacts to get one for review purposes.
I don't know.
You should go into your Toys R Us and be like, hey, yo.
Look, I interviewed Mrs. Megablocks, okay? Give me some Megablocks to review. I work for Megablocks now. Look, I have a card and it says Genevieve on it. And I'm like, no, that's my stage name. Any listeners out there, if you have a recommendation, I want to pick up a small Lego set and a small Megablocks set for the purposes of knowing how the building blocks feel, because I have small Creo sets. So any recommendations, let me know. I might not act on them, but I have no idea where to even start looking for this kind of information. And don't tell me about whether you think Lego or Megablocks is better, because that's why I'm deciding to eventually spend stupid money on stupid building block toys to make the decision myself, because I'm stupid. Building blocks. Is that everything we bought this week?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I've got plenty of stuff on the way, theoretically.
I have a bunch of Transformers on the way, so all you can be happy.
Hey, you know what I wish I had on the way? A bunch of Transformers. You know what I'm looking for every week? A bunch of Transformers. Oh, well. MP10 is still cool. Oh, I should actually... I wanted to say something to the folks who chimed in on MP10 in our last thread. Let me bring up our last thread. I want to say something about having the Matrix showing in vehicle mode. One gentleman suggested to me that you can close the black door over the Matrix. I tried again. It was a cage, or Kage. I tried again, man. I can't get that thing to lock up the way it locks up when the Matrix is exposed. I can close the black door like halfway so it's angled over and at least covering the Matrix, but I cannot close it entirely over the Matrix and get that block to lock into the midsection pieces. Also, I want to throw thanks out to the guy from the last page. Oh wow, I love this name. I want to throw thanks out to Spliff Dizzle. I want to throw thanks out to Spliff Dizzle. Spliff Dizzle, user on TFW 2005. Spliff Dizzle, user title, okay. Addicted to plastic crack. Spliff Dizzle let me in on the knowledge that I don't need a flathead screwdriver to get the Matrix out of his chest. I can push in on one side of the handle to make the other handle pop out more. That entirely works, and I had no idea that it did until you told me, Spliff Dizzle. So thank you, Spliff Dizzle. From page 3 of episode 171's feedback thread, Spliff Dizzle taught me how to pop the Matrix out of my Optimus Prime, so I want to thank Spliff Dizzle for that.
That actually reminded me. Aaron,
how,
have you actually seen...
How did that possibly remind you of anything? I just said the word Spliff Dizzle like 15 times.
Because it was about Masterpiece Transformers.
Oh, okay.
Something occurred to me. Aaron, have you actually seen a Masterpiece Rodimus in store?
Yes.
Did your Toys R Us have the security cable thing strapped to the boxes?
No.
Wait, what? Can you take a picture of that next time you're at Toys R Us?
I wish I had taken a picture. It's one of those like little security discs with the four metal cables wrapped around it.
You have to
like
take
what
a picture
put on
of
electronics.
That.
Yeah, like what you put on a high-end electronics. So it's just that they leave on a shelf.
I need to see a picture of this.
I want to know if there's just this rampant Masterpiece Rodimus shoplifting going on.
So we're going to put electricity cables around it. Because the package can totally survive that being made of plastic. Oh, man. I got to see a picture of that. I do. Siri!
I'll get...
Siri, get me a picture of that.
She's not on speaking terms with you, dude.
She will be when she knows that I really care. Oh, man. The flu.
Sorry, maybe I think that Siri actually isn't available in Canada anyway, so.
Oh, I see. She's a racist. I get it. Okay.
No, just nationalist.
Whatever. I guess I was born in the wrong time to think I could ride on the same bus with Siri. I should probably end this podcast.
Before you have Apple coming after you.
Yep. Yeah. But thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. And we're getting really close to Transformers coming out. So look forward to that. Thank you, Aaron and Omegas, for coming by. Thank you for sharing some cool stuff. I had no idea about Siri, but I like what I learned. And I had no idea about giant security cables and Masterpiece Rodimuses. That's just hilarious. Yeah, we'll talk to you later. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, because next time I might not be sick. Ha-ha!
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.